It's showtime.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go. A new broadcast week begins here at the Horn. It's the 22nd day of February. Got that right, didn't I? The 22nd day of February, 2021. This is the Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where we hide out. And if you run on over there, you can be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time multimedia extravaganza that is the Horn chat room. If you pop in right now, you'll be greeted by early arrivers, namely our buddies Stockton Larry and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is, it happened before my very eyes. The third stage guild navigator has folded space to become Man Cave. And apparently it's a nice day for folding space there in Northern California. Breezy, sunny, 74 degrees. Yeah, not quite the same here, but, you know, we'll get by. Because it's really nice. This is the final week of February. Isn't that just
lovely?
Yes, it absolutely is. And right now, we've got all of 45 degrees. It's mostly cloudy, but a little bit of sun peeking through. I can tell there's a little bit of light coming through the Horn color weather window. Oh, hi, I'm Robin. And it is Moran Monday. And, oh, golly, look, Morans. They're everywhere. Oh, we are positively infested, and we will get to them all in fairly short order. But every program here at the Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. And so thanks go out to our subscribers for, this past Saturday, yesterday Sunday, and today Monday. Yes, so that means thanks going out to Mike in Cascadia, as promised on Friday on the front porch. Thank you, Colin. Thank you, Bill in Florida. Thank you to Felicia, formerly of Nebraska, now of Southern California. Thank you to Barbara. Thank you very kindly, one and all. Thank you to Harold, president and CEO of Sochtris, the secret open carry Happy Trails Roundup Society. Yes, thank you all very kindly indeed. Thank you, Rico. Thank you so very much. And thank you to Joan in Talibandiana. That was tremendous. Thank you to Dr. John. Thank you to Carl. Thank you to Not Billable Rick. Thank you to Vincent and Tina. Thanks to Reverbo, the human man. Thank you very kindly. Thanks to Armand. Thank you to David. And so thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. So here we are, end of the week, a chance to end February and make sure there's another month of broadcasting in March. And I had something magnificent, wonderful happen. I had a note from James, who said, "Here's a challenge. It's the Finish February Fabulous Challenge." And if James's challenge is met, we will have wiped out, good gracious, 3.5 days of broadcasting. That's tremendous. Thank you, James. Thank you so much. So the challenge is on the table. If we can bring in $500, then James's challenge, James's matching challenge, is to double it. And so it awaits it awaits our response. And I'm just thrilled to pieces and excited because that means not having to to sweat the last week of February, and that would be fan-freaking-tastic. Thank you, James, again, so very, very much indeed. And just got a note from Jeremy in Vermont pointing out something that I saw a little bit ago. It's nothing to brag about. We have passed the 500,000 Americans mark in terms of deaths due to COVID-19, otherwise known as the Trump pandemic, the Don-demic. At least 40% of the, at least 200,000 of those deaths did not have to happen. The blood is plainly and exclusively on the tiny little orange hands of that monstrosity. Ooh, is that a new nickname? That Mar-a-Lago monstrosity. Yes. So, the shame of it all. The shame. The wicked, evil shame of it. I had a note from Kyle a little bit before the program. It was Decency Day in the Senate Committee on the Judiciary, because it turns out that Merrick Garland is not only intelligent and competent, but also seems downright, well, dare I say it, decent. And so watching the hearings earlier today, Kyle observed the Republicans are squirming at Judge and soon-to-be A.G. Garland's hearing because they're scared shitless he's actually going to bring justice to their base who tried to overthrow the damn government. Good. I wasn't sure, but the more I listen to him talk, the more I think he's the right guy for the job. I had the same sensation. Kyle's sense of decent approval didn't last that long, though, because, you know, Republicans, maggots, started talking. Hillary's email, Steele dossier. If Cornyn brings up Benghazi later, do we all get Republican bingo? Yes, absolutely, yes. Aye. And let's see. I came up with a new phrase. I was chatting offline with, or off-air, I should say, online, off-air, with Chris in Germany. And I said, yes, yes. Josh Hawley and Ted Cruz were, of course, their own reprehensible selves par excrescence. Huh? Not par excellence, par excrescence. Yeah? I think that might even make a certain giraffe smile, par excrescence. Girl tries. At any rate, speaking of which, flighty weekend, Robin! I couldn't help but take notice of this past weekend at some of the amazing events that took place, Felton, February 20th over the years. But first, happy birthday to George Washington, born this day, February 22nd, 1832. What? I think either Giraffe was typing today or Joey thumb stumbled from the 8 to the 7. I think that would be 1732. It's February 22nd, 1732. However, on February 20th, 1792, 9 minus 3, yeah, that would be his 60th birthday. He didn't last much longer than that. But on February 20th, 1792, George Washington signed an act creating the United States Post Office. Then on December 20th, 2006, a different George W., in this case George W. Bush, signed the ridiculous legislation that compelled the post office to fund their pension plan 75 years into the future. Can you imagine what would happen to any Fortune 500 company if you made them do that? Well, first of all, they don't like having pension plans. But if any Fortune 500, Apple, take Apple. What would happen to Apple if you made them fund pension plans for Apple employees who weren't even born yet? Hmm? Yeah. Think about that. Sadly, Joey observes, some Democrats went along with this bullshit, such as Henry Waxman of California. Literally, over the course of 225 years, the post office was self-sustaining and didn't take tax dollars from the people. Now, Jeffrey wants to post another message. I'm quite disgusted with Henry Waxman for co-sponsoring the post office bill, and I can only imagine that when Bernie Sanders found out about Henry Waxman sponsoring this bill, I think Bernie might have challenged Henry to a duel, considering Waxman, a Democrat, assisted in sponsoring this ridiculous Republican bill. Yes, I think Waxman really demonstrated some really bad... Wait for it. Yes, I think Waxman really demonstrated some really bad duplicity. The llama is filled with ennui. Jeffrey continues, though, because, you know, takes a lot to get keep a good giraffe down, or even a bad one. Ever since that day that Waxman supported that terrible post office bill, I, Jeffrey the Giraffe, have become an avid anti, wait for it. Yes, thanks to Waxman, I, Jeffrey the Giraffe, have become an avid anti-waxer.
Don't!
Well, thank you, Giraffrey. And speaking of vaccinations, on the 20th of February, 1905, the U.S. Supreme Court in Jacobson versus Massachusetts upheld a 7-2 decision for compulsory vaccination, suggesting that the law intended to protect the public's health and well-being. And speaking of duels, in 1839, just 3 years after the death of Aaron Burr, dueling was outlawed on February 20th of that year. Burr would die 27 years after he shot Alexander in Staten Island, New York, after, very likely, Alexander Hamilton's hand-chosen hair-trigger pistols. Well, Hamilton's went off before he could get it lowered to put the bullet through Burr's heart. And no, he did not shoot Alexander Hamilton in Staten Island, New York. In fact, Alexander Hamilton and Burr's duel took place somewhere that I've been, because the wonderful and multi-talented Tara Devlin of Tara Buster, a couple of years back, took Chris and me and Ferg across the Hudson River to the plains of Weehawken, where we visited the park, where it's not actually where the duel took place, because where the duel took place was down closer to the river, and it's got a highway on it now. But, yeah. Jeffrey'd like to duel out some more information. Duel. Okay. According to sources, Burr's last words to dying Hamilton were, "Your death was not staged, so I hope that play of yours works out for you." Gosh, Robin, I hope it was not too soon to make fun of Hamilton. Yeah, I know. Steve in New York's already on that little mistake like a duck on a June bug. Staten Island? It was in Weehawken, New Jersey. One of the best views of Upper Manhattan in the world. And yes, I absolutely agree. It's a fantastic view. But anyway, back to Joey's journal. Hamilton, great musical, I guess. But the history, not so much. Because Hamilton was no hero. And Hamilton was not anti-slavery. Sorry, just wasn't. Jeffrey has an attitude today because Jeffrey can't figure out why Staten Island, the place where Burr didn't die, is considered to be a part of New York City when it practically borders New Jersey. Yeah, Staten Island's one of the 5 boroughs in New York City, which makes no sense at all because Staten Island's not connected to New York, but for this very long bridge called the Verrazano Narrows Bridge. But one of Jeffrey and mine's favorite places in the whole world, Long Island, is actually connected to New York City via Brooklyn and Queens, but it's not considered one of the 5 boroughs. Go figure. Ironically, Staten Island, which is mistakenly in this journal to begin with, is the only one of the 5 boroughs that generally votes Republican and the original home of Tara Devlin. Jeffrey wishes to make a statement.
Well, Tara is smart, and she fled Staten Island because most of the morons there are crazy because they're on, wait for it, yes, most of the morons that live on Staten Island are on statin drugs.
I think the llama's about to collapse. Jeffrey, oh, but never mind.
I think Jeffrey may have heard Long Island and started drinking. That would be appropriate because on the 20th of February, 1933, the prohibition of alcohol was abolished. That constitutional amendment was amended by another amendment, which repealed the amendment that banned the sale of alcohol in the United States. The second stupidest amendment, by the way, I will add editorially, this is me, not Joey or Giraffe. The second stupidest amendment ever to be put in the Constitution. The stupidest amendment was the anti-democratic two-term limit on the presidency. I will argue that all day long and twice on Sunday. Anyway, on February 20th, 1962, John Glenn orbited the Earth 3 times in 5 hours in Mercury's Friendship 7, noting that he was sitting atop a humongous explosive device, every piece of which had been built by the lowest bidder. That or maybe that's apocryphal, I don't know. But on Friendship 7, he made it back to Earth thanks to 3 African-American women who were treated like second-class citizens because, well, you know, because they were black. However, these 3 women, Dorothy Vaughan, Katherine Johnson, and Mary Jackson, are depicted as heroines in the movie Hidden Figures, which is a fantastic film. And if it weren't for these 3 incredibly gifted mathematicians, John Glenn and Friendship 7 may never have returned to Earth safely. Finally, on February 20th, 1942, Lieutenant Edward Butch O'Hare, a U.S. Navy flying ace in World War II, literally went on a kamikaze mission as he chased and shot down 5 Japanese bombers in order to save the aircraft carrier USS Lexington in the South Pacific. Lieutenant O'Hare probably knew that he wouldn't survive the mission, but selflessly hunted down the enemy planes to save the Lexington and all of his Navy comrades. And Jeffrey wraps it all up. At this moment, I want to raise my Long Island to Lieutenant Edward Butch O'Hare, of whom most of you listening tonight have never heard, but I'm sure you're very... I have. And Niall Kinnick, too. But I'm sure you're very familiar with one of the world's busiest airports named in his honor. Yes, Chicago's O'Hare Airport is aptly named after a hero of World War II by the name of Lieutenant Edward O'Hare, and you can get a great Chicago-style hot dog or a hot an Italian hot beef, wet, naturally, on one of the concourses there. Apart from that, O'Hare. This has been Joey's Journal for Moran Monday, the 22nd of February, with Giraffe saluting Lieutenant Edward O'Hare and Texas's brand new acting senators, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and Beto O'Rourke. And that means that we will add to James's Finish February Fabulous Challenge, $25, with Joey and Giraffe's Navy Grog Challenge. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Giraffe. And, okay. Stephen New York says, my sweet, sweet Robin. The worst amendment was, the worst amendment was, is, and ever shall be the Second Amendment. You know what? I'm standing up. Sorry about the noise. I stand corrected. Now I'm sitting back down. It is the worst. That would make the, the 19th? They all run together sometimes. The prohibition of alcohol, the third worst amendment. Wow, we've got 3 terrible amendments to the Constitution. How about that? I don't understand, Roger. What the hell, are we going to get a Sunday show? Is it something? Don't confuse me. Don't. It's rough enough as it is. and had we taken action, David in South Carolina, Stan points out, from Kurt Eichenwald, we just had to be patient and care for each other. That's it. If we had done a full lockdown for 90 days last spring with support for small business, the unemployed, then mask requirements, we would have lost 10 to 20,000, not a 500,000. But you're not the boss of me. Impatience and stupidity killed. And Kurt Eichenwald is absolutely correct. It didn't have to happen this way.
Yeah, says Darlene in Connecticut, I'm kind of impressed with Merrick Garland. And he doesn't and wasn't taking any crap from the Republicans today on the Senate Judiciary Committee. Of course, the bar is shit-ass lower. That's B-A-R-R. Is shit-ass lower than low to the ground or bullfrog pond, if you think about it. And then, why was Rafaelito Eduardo... I asked the same question of myself. Why was Rafaelito Eduardo Cruz, the anointed booger-eating future king of America, even physically there at the hearing? He couldn't Zoom or Cisco WebEx in from Texas just to give the impression that he cared about what his state was going through, that he would immediately return to handing out water to the Texas poors after the hearing ended? Ha, 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 ha. Yeah, you know you do it so well, Robin. Thank you, darling. Thank you. That's lovely. Because there were photographs of him over the weekend desperately trying to rehabilitate his horrible reputation that was horrible even before the great Cancun bug out. Jesus, meme. Now, memes of Rafaelito dragging his suitcase are competing with the proliferation of memes of Bernie and his mittens from January 20th. Oh, my God. The best one I've seen yet being Rafaelito pulling his suitcase through the airport with Bernie and his mittens sitting there watching. I think the meme just said, Bernie saw you, Ted. Yeah. As to amendments, Tom in sunny San Rafael says, I agree with Steve about the second. Now, why does New York have so many boroughs? Spelled B-U-R-R-O-S. Well, I mean, they are donkeys, and New York is democratic. Oh, dear. It's going to be one of those afternoons, isn't it? And meanwhile, Rusty says, as to sitting atop a giant bomb in a vehicle that was every piece of which was made by the lowest bidder, Rusty says, that's why they call them Astro Nuts. Indeed. Well played. Well played, Rusty. And a note from Flavio. Slate's Mark Joseph Stern today excerpted, Mark Joseph Stern is right. Clarence Thomas promotes Trump's voter fraud lies in alarming descent because we were going to get there sooner or later anyway. Might as well start. It's been, you know, for somebody said on my Instagram post, I noted that it's a very bad day for Nitwit Nero and Mr. Pillow. Not bad for a Monday. And the response came, yeah, it's a twofer, and it's not even Tuesday. No kidding. But, no, it's true. In the Supreme Court case that told Nitwit Nero that he has run out of time and rode both in regard to continuing to keep his shady business dealings secret, that it was just over. Time to give him up. And now his accounting firm, and it doesn't matter how many times that Nitwit Nero swears, I'll sue him as ours, I'll sue him forever, I'll sue. Now, it's going to be a little hard to prosecute that lawsuit when Mazars will be responding to a subpoena. He whined from Mara Bedbug earlier today, the never-ending witch hunt never ends. You know, with lots of caps and shit. But he doesn't have Twitter, so he had to release a statement. Ew. But lo and behold, Clarence pubes on the Coke can Slappy Thomas, according to Mark Joseph Stern, is not backing down from the fight to legitimize Donald Trump's claims that the 2020 election was rife with fraud. This morning, he issued a startling opinion, ranting against the alleged dangers of mail voting and... Really? It used to be the trouble was female voting. No, sorry. No, that's M-A-I-L. Voting and declaring the SCOTUS must override state courts that expand vote by mail pursuant to their state constitutions. Trump may be out of office, but his staunchest ally on the U.S. Supreme Court is carrying on his assault on the legitimacy of the election. And, well, he notes,
it makes sense then that SCOTUS refused to hear these cases on Monday. You know, Pennsylvania, election horseshit. They're plainly moot because the election's over and there's no longer any live controversy to settle. Still, three justices, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas, Sammy Bad Breath shoot the black kid in the back of the head at 30 paces even though he's running away and doesn't have a weapon, Alito, and Ann's boy Neil Gorsuch, all dissented from the court's decision to turn away the Pennsylvania cases, because of course they did. Jesus. You mean Amy COVID Barrett and Brat Kavanaugh? Actually, wow. Yeah. So, Matt in San Francisco with the subject line taxes. What are the chances 45 cheated on his taxes? 100%. And Cyrus Vance will be sorting that out presently. Stuff is probably already in the hands of the prosecutor and possibly even the grand jury. Oh, not that I'm complaining, Kevin says, but why was it a bad day for Mr. Pillowhead? Well, Mr. Pillow got the living be Jesus sued out of him by Dominion Voting Systems. They had said they were going to do it, and we've known they were going to do it, and, well, now they've come through. And they sued him for more than $1.3 billion. The Wall Street Journal having reported it, as well as other news outlets, they said that the claim being that Lindell promoted defamatory accusations related to Dominion in the 2020 presidential election. Today, he told Mr. Pillow did CNBC, "My message to Dominion is thank you for finally getting this done, because it'll be back in the limelight now." Yeah, good luck. I'm pretty sure his sobriety is not in the best of shape right now. No. So, bad day for Nitwit Nero. Bad day for Mr. Pillow. Bad day for Pennsylvania maggots. Pretty good Monday, really. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, I noted earlier, it is the 22nd day of February 2021, and, yes, Rush Limbaugh, the oxymoron, I don't know why the goddess of irony would make me say it that way, Rush Limbaugh, the oxymoron, is still dead. Yes. And then there was the news that broke, you know, we talked about it some on Friday, that Joe Manchin launched a little coup against Neera Tanden. The purpose of that coup being driven by bigotry and racism, of course. But now, Bishop Willard Romney and noted Maine moderate Susan Collins have joined him to say that they will vote against Neera Tanden to head the Office of Management and Budget, because the woman sent mean tweets. Now, the president, president of the United States, you know, the guy who was only became the president by operation of a constitutional anachronism from our vicious slavery past. Now, he was the king of the mean tweets. And it took action on the part of Twitter. And, well, Susan Collins was, and Joe Manchin weren't, you know, particularly, they weren't exactly burning up the Twitterverse themselves and demanding Jack Dorsey do that, or generally speaking, the folks at Twitter. But no, brown woman not make mean tweet, brown woman, or brown woman make mean tweet, brown woman not be. Oh, Jesus Christ, why am I doing that? Ugh. And the Washington Post today, Aaron Blake pointed out, this has led to charges of hypocrisy and a new standard. In particular, many Republicans who now appear primed to vote against Tandon's nomination often turned a blind eye to former President Donald Trump's controversial tweets or claimed they hadn't seen them. Oh, Senator Manchin, what do you think about Nitwit Nero's tweet? Oh, well, I'm out here searching for that bipartisanship unicorn, and I haven't really seen his tweets. Yeah. On the other hand, there was Richard Grenell, who was a vicious tweeter. Lots of mean tweets from Richard Grenell. And, of course, Susan Collins and Joe Manchin and Bishop Willard didn't have anything to say about that. But Blake pointed out in the Washington Post, some of the most off-sided Tandon tweets include her calling Collins the worst. She attacked Senator Tom Cotton, Republican of Arkansas, as a fraud. Said that vampires have more heart than Senator Ted Cruz. Show me where either one of those is a wrong, factually incorrect. And, of course, she frequently joined in referring to, as we have done, the worst human being ever to come out of Sheffield, Alabama, namely Mitch McConnell, as Moscow Mitch. So don't be brown, don't be a woman, and don't mean tweet. Then maybe you can be Office of Management and Budget Director. But if you mean tweet, it doesn't matter how intelligent you are. You can't be Office of Management and Budget Director because brown women can't mean tweet. I shared with you last week the statement from Joe Manchin. I believe her overly partisan statements will have a toxic and detrimental impact on the important working relationship between members of Congress and the next director of the Office of Management and Budget. That doesn't even make sense. The next director of the Office of Management and Budget. So what? Okay, no. Art of word knowing moment. Let's take this apart real quick, because that bugged me the first time I read it, and it still bothers me. I believe her overtly partisan statements. Overtly partisan? So what? Would it be okay if they were subvertly partisan? Help me out, Flavio. What's the opposite of overtly? Covertly. Covertly. That's it. Not subvertly. Covertly. Never mind, Flavio. So her partisan statements, if they were covert, would have been okay? Will have a toxic and detrimental impact on the important working relationship between members of Congress and the next office of the Director of Management and Budget. So if you parse that language, what Joe Manchin has said is that it doesn't matter who Joe Biden nominates as the director of the Office of Management and Budget. Neera Tandon Brown Lady has already poisoned that relationship, no matter who it is. And then noted Maine moderate Republican Susan Collins jumped in and said, her past actions have demonstrated exactly the kind of animosity that President Biden has pledged to transcend. On the other hand, back when Richard Grenell went before the Senate, Joe Manchin was like, cool. And Richard Grenell attacked the appearance, the physical appearance of Michelle Obama. He attacked Hillary Clinton's appearance. He said that Richard Grenell said Michelle Obama was exercising and sweating on the East Room carpet, because she was trying to get children more engaged in exercise and being physically active, because it means so much for a child's well-being.
as an adult later in life to be active early on. But again, no questions from Manchin or Romney or Susan Collins about any of that. Yeah. So, well, surprise, 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 hypocrisy. But of course, Flavio noting, and look, I get what Flavio is saying. Flavio, the reason I didn't read the whole thing is it was because it was a long reader. But Flavio says, you know, it wouldn't necessarily break my heart if Neera Tanden weren't confirmed. Just saying, not a fan. I get that. She is way lacking in a sufficient level of ideological purity. I recognize that. And she's from the really kind of moderate wing of the... I mean, there's a lot of stuff that she... I think she's not a fan of everybody being able to go to the doctor when they're sick, or a government program to make sure that that is in fact the case. I think she's probably a fan of for-profit insurance being the gatekeeper to having access, not access to, but actually having health care. All that's true. But there's a problem that attends all of this, and that is what is referred to in the here and now as the optics. You know, haul in Joe Manchin. You know, where's Kyrsten Sinema on this? I mean, she's all got to save the racist filibuster and everything, but I haven't heard anything from her about Neera Tanden's mean tweets, because Kyrsten Sinema probably realizes that it's a really stupid take under the present circumstances. Just haul Joe Manchin in and offer him a new federal building somewhere in West Virginia, and we'll get this taken care of. But then again, I don't know, because Joe's a racist from way back and would deny it until, well, he'd deny it three times before the cock crowed, or the crow cocked. But he is. He's got a history, as I pointed out on Friday. But the larger issue here is that if you let Joe Manchin get away with this shit, you make him even more of a force and power than he already is. And of course, the people who aren't liberal, the people who aren't progressive, the people who do pay attention to politics and also pick their teeth with their toenail clippings back here in West Virginia, I'm talking about maggots and Republicans and conservatives, they're applauding him. Because, of course, they are. Because he is speaking to their essential confirmation bias. And I'm not talking about, I'm talking about they like to hear him say things that are as racist and nasty as the racist and nasty things that he says and acts upon. The Stern article from Slate, Flavio wants another paragraph read. Democrats currently appear to lack the votes to expand the court by declining to take action. The party is assenting to decades of rule by crass partisans like, Clarence Pubes on the Coke can, Slappy Thomas. Democrats may complain about the tsunami of voter suppression laws that Republicans are instituting in the wake of 2020, but they currently have an opportunity to end this wave of disenfranchisement by creating a majority of justices who believe in the right to vote. So far, they've passed it up. This inertia leaves the nation with a Supreme Court with at least four justices who are sympathetic to elements of Trump's big lie. As long as they hold so much power on the bench, every federal election will remain at risk of subversion by judicial decree. And all of that is absolutely true. And it is a reflection of the political realities of the individuals who sit in their various seats and were sent there by their electorate.
Personally, I'd like to see the court expanded to about, 13. Let's make it 15. Let's make it 15 and appoint, 6 more justices. And just render Brett Kavanaugh and Amy COVID Barrett and Ann's boy Neil and Sammy etc. and pubes, make them all irrelevant. And frankly, make old balls and strikes dead-eyed John Roberts irrelevant too. And this is what I meant. This is David in South Carolina, Stan, just sent this along. I'd seen this earlier today. Thank you for the reminder. By bowing and scraping before Joe Manchin, it makes him worse and worse and worse. When you give in to a bully, instead of punching a bully in the nose, well, this is what you get. Jeff Bennett over at CNN reporting, Manchin is undecided on Deb Haaland's nomination for Interior Secretary. That according to his spokesperson, Sam Runyon. Manchin has met with Deb Haaland over Zoom, but he says Manchin says he has remaining questions. Gee, I wonder why. Brown woman. A Native American woman whose people have been on this continent since Joe Manchin's Italian ancestors were squabbling with the weasels over what the buzzards didn't want. Well, Joe Manchin has reservations. Oh, I'm sorry, remaining questions. At least spokesperson Sam Runyon had the common decency not to say reservations, and Deb Haaland being an indigenous American after all. No, I can tell you right now exactly what Joe Manchin's reservations, remaining questions are. Those aren't those are not intentional misspeaks. Those are screw-ups on my part, and I apologize profusely. His remaining questions have to do with how Deb Haaland might feel about the continuing efforts to blow his state to kingdom come. Not because Joe Manchin is opposed to that, but because Joe Manchin loves it. Every time a mountain blows up, Joe Manchin gets a little tingle because it makes him so happy when the mountains for which this state is known are reduced to toxic moonscapes of wholesale nothingness. So there we go. In San Francisco, Matt writes, Joe, is he just warming up for his leading in the killing of the minimum wage? I really hope someone can get him in line. I do too. I know one of the people who can't, and that's Bernie. Joe hates Bernie. Bernie hates Joe. It could be like a really cool sitcom on Nick for Kids for seventh graders. But they despise each other. That's my understanding. I don't know what brings him around, if anything. I mean, I know liberals and progressives here in West Virginia are busting their ass. They're calling his phone, his offices. They are emailing. They're doing everything in their power. May not work because he just doesn't give a fuck. He knows that he is a senator from West Virginia as long as he wishes to be the senator from West Virginia. Republicans aren't going to beat him, and primarying him, it will probably fail. And if it doesn't fail, it just means we get another Republican. And I had a note from Larry, a friend of the program, who said, you know, if Joe Manchin doesn't come around, that he, Larry, will feel he has no choice but to do everything in his power to try to remove Joe from office, even if it means West Virginia gets a second Republican senator. And I kind of understand that attitude. But, that sure is a rotten thing to do to people like me, people like every liberal and progressive human being in this state, people like Boss Man Wayne, people like Dr. Bill O'Brien. It's a lousy thing to do. And I'll just to be completely candid, the best way to neutralize Joe Manchin is to render him irrelevant. And unfortunately, that doesn't come until November 2022. Oh, my God. You know, pick up two or three Senate seats in 2022 and Joe Manchin doesn't fucking matter anymore. As long as the senators that we, knock wood, pick up aren't as bad or worse than Joe Manchin. I'd like to pick up four Senate seats or more in 2022 and render both Manchin and Sinema irrelevant. But it does nobody any favors, anywhere in this country. As much as I despise what he does and what he stands for, it does us no good handing us another Republican Senate seat. That's going backwards, not forwards. I know, politics, like math, is hard, isn't it? So, you know, it is what it is. I got a comment from our dear friend Joy in Ann Arbor. How come Beto O'Rourke and AOC working to raise money for struggling Texans, many of whom didn't vote for Beto and think that AOC is a she-witch, doesn't count as a unity story? How come the media isn't spinning it that way? How come unity only means giving the GOP what it wants? My best guess is that's because these media outlets are owned by great big giant corporations that are run by wealthy sociopaths and psychopaths. They want the kind of crap that Republicans get when Democrats have to give in to them. Plain and simple. Kyle says, in agreement with Flavio, I have to disagree with you on Neera Tanden. She should have been disqualified for pushing cuts to Social Security and her anti-Medicare for all stance. A lot of stuff goes back to race, but not everything. Maybe Manchin is trying to score cheap political points in the dumbest and most Republican way possible, but in the end, he sunk a horrible nominee. Like I said, I'm not a member of the Neera Tanden fan club. It has nothing to do with mean tweets. It has to do with her policy positions, and I agree with everything that Kyle just said. But by giving Joe Manchin veto power over her, we are thereby making him a bigger monster than he already is. I hope that makes some degree of sense. If she is tanked, maybe they'll find somebody better. But again, if her nomination's in the tank, then the Arafat rule comes into play. Namely, you know, whomever, no matter how bad you hate someone, quite often the person that you so despise is orders of magnitude better than who comes next. So, there you go. It's a bit of a quandary. Of course, I don't think, do you? Do you think Joe Biden will now go out and find somebody who's positive? And I'm not arguing, Kyle. I like for these conversations. I like for us to be able to disagree without being disagreeable. But do you think Joe Biden will now say, okay, go out and find somebody who does support Medicare for all, which he doesn't, and because I don't see it happening. And regardless of her policy positions, the reason, you know, Joe Manchin is not opposing Neera Tanden because of her stance on Medicare for all or because of how she feels like about cuts to Social Security. Hell, he's on board with both of those positions. Okay? Plain and simple. He agrees with her. But while Kyle says everything doesn't boil down to race, when you've got actual evidence of racism on more than one occasion, and now this, and then another brown woman in Deb Haaland, the duck begins to act and quack and walk like a duck. So I would just simply say that maybe that is part of, if not the entire reason. The mean tweets aren't. That is a pathetic excuse that, as the article in the Washington Post today pointed out, cannot withstand scrutiny. So there's that. Flavio says Social Security is important. Robin, not Bob. It's okay. It happens. Neera Tanden will fuck with Social Security just like Arnie Duncan fucked with education. There's, right, okay, not arguing with you. But do you think that somebody else will be appointed that won't? I mean, I don't think Joe Biden's going to appoint Bernie Sanders, chief of staff, to be the head of Office of Management and Budget, because no. We have to, it's our job to push back on that shit. It'd be lovely. It would be absolutely freaking lovely if we could get every last thing on our wish list from this administration. But I tell you what, I am impressed. I am as impressed as I can be with the performance of Merrick Garland today. And he certainly does have the Republicans in a shit tizzy, and good. I mean, I again, though, you know, there are things I'd like to have heard. I watched most of it. Maybe I missed this part, but, and maybe he would have punted on it, but he seemed to answer questions pretty forthrightly, unlike any Republican nominee to any position in the last three or four Republican administrations. But I would have liked to have heard him give an answer to a single question. If, as you say, you are going to supervise the ongoing investigation and prosecution of the terrorists who attacked the Capitol on January the 6th, if you're going to do that, can you say, Judge Garland, that if the facts warrant it, and if the law permits it, given that a murder took place, will you use every tool at your disposal up to and including the federal felony murder statute in your pursuit of justice in these hundreds of cases?
That's a really long-winded question, I suppose, but it's certainly not the most long-winded that any senator's ever asked. It's a little compound, but not that much. But I'd really like to have an answer to that question. I, again, am not a fan of the death penalty. Fan, that's a terrible word. I don't support the death penalty. I don't think we should have it on our books. But if you're going to have it on the books, this is the kind of thing you have it on the books for. Not some dude who was sitting behind the wheel and didn't know his buddies were going to rob the Rippy Mart and wind up shooting the clerk in the process. There were cases of felony murder that took place all over the Capitol on January the 6th. And I would very much like to hear the Attorney General designate hear him say that the federal horizontal crucifixion law applies as much to white right-wing domestic terrorists as it does others. I mean, yes, absolutely. We horizontally crucified Timothy McVeigh, and I don't think there were a lot of tears shed over that. So there is precedent. But with all these cases of the young woman who was sent home wearing an ankle bracelet and continued to tweet out QAnon horse shit, the woman who was told she could go on her Mexican vacation, on and on and on and on. Well, I'd like to see something a little more similar to what we pass out for justice for people who don't have skin privilege. I agree. I hope people aren't misunderstanding me here. Les just said Neera Tanden doesn't deserve to be confirmed. Joe Manchin is doing the right thing for the wrong reason, but let's not pretend she's some progressive icon. She isn't. I mean, among other things, if I were Joe Biden, oh, please. What she did to the staff at Think Progress was reprehensible, unconscionable, and should have been disqualifying in its own right. I'd feel better, in fact, if somebody in the Democratic caucus, of course, it would mean it was more fractured than we even thought. I'd like if someone would point out that her tweets don't matter a damn, but her position on Social Security does. Her position on Medicare for All does. And that her anti-labor position does. You know who'd be a great one for that? The senator from Ohio, who back when Flush Flimball was still alive, smirk, Flush referred to him as Sherrod Brown, my friends. He's an African-American senator from Ohio. Sherrod Brown. He'd never even seen him. But because Flush was a filthy fucking racist, he decided that because his first name was Sherrod, that he was, probably a senator elected by African-American Ohioans, and maybe he had had a storied career in the NBA or some such. Asshole. But yeah, Les is absolutely right. She's anti-labor, anti-progressive, and a union buster at Think Progress. I don't care if she's a woman or of color. No working man should support her. I find little to disagree with you about, Les. I find nothing to disagree with you about. Or Flavio. Or Darlene, who says, Neera has an awfully grating voice. I'm sorry, I've always thought she was painful to the ears to listen to.
And so is John Cotton, the effing stiff, and Lady G, and Chuck Spittle Grassley et al. That stated, I honestly think she'd regulate herself and hold her tongue in this different role, and that's what it is, right? You and I have talked about government being theater, that all the world's a stage kind of stuff. Maybe Nira would have been better off not to apologize, or maybe just apologize once for offending anyone, and then just say, hey, I was a cable news guest consultant. I did my job at that time. I deeply intrinsically know the gravity and weight of this position for which I have been nominated. It is even arguable that I was an equal opportunity basher in that old role. But that's not going to enter my thinking in this politically neutral role, and she swears to it, and that's that. Or maybe she should pull a Clarence Thomas, this is a high-tech lynching, or do an angry brat Kavanaugh performance with the sneering lips, vitriol, the spitting, and everything. Hang on. Wasn't what those two were accused of pretty much did far worse than anything Nira wrote on that fucking Twitter? But truth doesn't matter to at least one side of the coin on Capitol Hill, and she's a woman, a brown woman, and a Democratic president's nomination. Yeah, Nira's just too damn brown and moreover too damned uppity to confirm, you know, like most of us women are. I'd love to see what Manchin Mnuchin does with Deb Haaland. If he sinks her, then somebody from the Biden administration needs to have a chat with Joe about how racist he's looking these days. Yeah, and, well, I'm working on something. I don't know if they'll touch it, but I'm working on it. I don't know. And by them, I mean they. I'm talking about send it into the Gazette. Don't know. So here we are. We've gotten to the top of the hour, and one solid hour of filler robster. Oh, there's that annoying clacking. I'll mute my mic for a moment. All better. So as ever, this is Conversation Radio. If you would like to engage in said conversation, you are mightily welcome so to do. I saw this earlier, and Sparky sent it along as well. This is one of, if not the best, clips of Merrick Garland from today handling constitutional scholar, it's in the Constitution, Mike Lee of Utah. You know, there's a place in Alabama called Utah. It's spelled E-U-T-A-W. Utah. You pronounce the W real good. That's where Mike Lee from Utah comes from, because he seems a lot more like he's from Utah, Alabama, than Utah, the state. But no, this is Dandy. This is Jim Dandy.
Chairman, Judge Garland, consistent with the idea of this being a lightning round, I'm going to start with some questions that can be yes or no. If they require more than that, you can say yes with this or that minor caveat, but I prefer a yes or no.
Well, isn't that nice of him?
One of these. Do you believe that individuals who advocate for the rights of unborn human beings are rendered unfit for public office by virtue of having engaged in such advocacy?
No.
Do you believe that efforts to purge voter rolls of individuals who have either died or have left the state in question, or to require voter identification are...
Hold on, that people who advocate for the unborn are unfit for... No. So Mike Lee then runs to a microphone, I presume, said, Merrick Garland said that the government should be run by pro-life people. What a turd.
Racially discriminatory and an assault on voting rights?
This one is one I can't answer yes or no, because you're asking about motivations of individuals, some of whom may have discriminatory purpose, and some right. of whom have no discriminatory purpose.
Okay. I think that answers my question there, because I guess what I'm asking is, does an individual, without knowing more than that, is there anything about those comments or support for those positions that in and of themselves would make that person a racist? Or an assault on voting rights?
Again, There's nothing about the comment itself, but when you know, there's such a thing as circumstantial evidence, obviously. Gotcha. And if there's enormously disparate impact of things that somebody continues to propose, you know, it's not unreasonable to draw conclusions from that. But I
let's remember that in one voter suppression case arising out of North Carolina, the court itself, the judge hearing the case at trial, said, "This is racist." And I'm saying this is racist because they admitted they were racist. So, you know, there's that.
The mere fact of the statement, no.
Do you believe that Republicans in the United States, and by Republicans I mean as a whole, are determined to, quote, leave our communities to the mercy of people and institutions driven by hate, bigotry, and fear of any threat to the status quo, close quote?
Who are you quoting there, asshole?
I don't make generalizations about members of political parties. I would never do that.
I appreciate that and wouldn't expect otherwise. The reason I raise these ones is that these are questions that have been drawn from comments made by Vinita Gupta, who's been nominated to be the Associate Attorney General, has advocated for each of these positions.
Well Senator, I know Vinita Gupta now quite well. I didn't know her before, but since the nomination, I've gotten a chance to talk with her and speak with her. I have to tell you, I regard her as a person of great integrity and a person who is dedicated to the mission of the department, and particularly equal justice under law.
Understand,
so I don't know
that. I'm not asking you to weigh in on her, on her as a person.
That's exactly what you just did, Dick.
Move on. Would individuals past statements, statements in the past, as an adult, declaring that one racial group is superior to another, would statements like that be relevant to an evaluation of whether such a person should
you mean like
be
the Klan?
Put in charge of running the Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division?
So, Senator, I've read in the last few days these allegations about Kristen Clark, who I also have gotten to know, who I also trust, who I believe is a person of integrity, whose views about the Civil Rights Division I have discussed with her, and they are in line with my own. I have every reason to want her. She is an experienced former blind prosecutor of hate crimes, and we need somebody like that to be running the
I'm asking about the statement. I'm not asking about her as a person.
Well, they're kind of the same thing now, aren't they?
Would someone who has made that comment, would that comment itself be relevant to the question whether that person, having made that statement, should be put in charge of running the Civil Rights Division?
All I can tell you is I've had many...
Let's remember, just for the sake of the totality of the circumstances, let's remember that Mike Lee might very well be one of the people investigated by the Department of Justice for his role in fomenting an insurrection and an attack on the capital of the United States. Yeah.
Any conversations with her about her views about that, about the Civil Rights Division, about what kind of matter she would investigate?
What about anti-Semitic comments? Would those be relevant to someone wanting to run?
You know my views about anti-Semitism. No one needs to question those.
I'm not questioning your
view. I know you're not, but I also want you to know I'm a pretty good judge of what an anti-Semite is, and I do not believe that she is an anti-Semite, and I do not believe she is discriminatory in any sense.
Okay, tell me this, Judge. You are a man of integrity, and one who honors and respects the laws. What assurances can you give us, as one who has been nominated to serve as the Attorney General of the United States, that you, if confirmed as Attorney General of the United States, what assurances can you give Americans who are Republican, who are pro-life, who are religious, people who are members of certain minority groups, you know, in short, half or more than half of the country.
Wait, hold on. Mike Lee is a member of a minority group? What? In all of those people, where's the minority group, for fuck's sake? I mean, he mentions anti-Semitism. Jews are obviously a minority in this country. But is he saying that all the drooling, mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing freaks who stand outside abortion clinics, women's reproductive health care facilities, is he saying that they're minorities? Because they look pretty not minority to me. Yeah, that just crawled all over Steve in New York, too. Minority religious groups like who? Christians? Well, you know, phony baloney, evangelical, etc. Yeah, those. No, they're a minority.
Telling them that the U.S. Department of Justice, if you're confirmed, will protect them. If Department of Justice leaders have condoned radical positions like those that I've described.
Look, I'll say again, I don't believe that either Vanita or Kristen condone those positions, but and I have complete faith in them. We are a leadership team, along with Lisa Monaco, that will run the department, and the end, the final decision is mine. The buck stops with me, as Harry Truman said. And I will assure the people that you're talking about, I am a strong believer in religious liberty, and there will not be any discrimination under my watch.
Thank you.
Game, set, and match to Merrick Garland, who didn't spit or howl or scream, and who said something we haven't heard for at least 4 years, the buck stops here. You know, for pity's sakes. Hey, it's 11 after. Remember, we've got a $500, a $525 worth of challenges on the table. And it would be great to take a big bite out of those if we could this evening. Yeah, it's the Finish February Fabulous Challenge by our buddy James, who very generously put that up in hopes of seeing us not have to sweat all the way to the end of the month. Thank you again, James, and hopefully people will respond. It'd be great if that was the case. Let's run over and check in with pinch hit midweek chat room utility moderator and all around great guy, Brother Bishop Steve from Georgistan. Hey, Steve.
Robin, how are you, ma'am?
I'm good, my brother. How about you?
Fantastic, man. Just something really grinded my gears yesterday, and I wanted to vent to.
Oh, you're more than welcome to.
On the planet about it.
Yeah, how's the? Let me ask first, though. How's the remodel coming?
It's coming along great. I may have overstated it. I just got one contractor, and we're doing it in slow increments. But when I had the roof first, and he was up there pounding away, goddamn, sound like it was a jackhammer in my head, you know.
Well, I was going to ask you, to what extent does this remodel resemble a house fire?
Yeah, well, if it keeps going the way it's going, man, you may want to ask me again in a couple of weeks. But right now, we're kind of in a holding pattern. But we'll circle back to it later, you know. Good friend of mine.
Well, good luck, my friend.
Thanks, man. Thanks. But Karen's got a to-do list a mile long, you know, happy wife, happy life, all that. So I try to do what I got to do, you know.
Absolutely. That's all you can do. Well, I'm glad. I'm glad that maybe it's not quite the horror that you thought it was.
No, it was just 800 screws going into a metal roof. That was kind of intense.
Ow! Yeah, well, that happened here, and actually, it was a nice enough day. I stood outside. I didn't live with it going through. You know, feeling like they were going to come through the through the roof into my skull.
I didn't know it, but those screws, metal roof, you think maintenance free, you never have to do anything to it. No, those metal screws have a rubber piece on the end of them that break down.
Yeah, there's a little rubber grommet.
Yep. About every 10 to 20 years, according to, you know, your atmospheric conditions, you have to replace them, or you're going to have
at least
water
you used metal.
In
years, 20 years ago or so, more than 20 years ago, parts of this roof were done in something that was all the rage back then, Steve. It was called Ondura.
It was fiberglass. It was a corrugated fiberglass over like an asphalt core, guaranteed for life. It too was attached to the roof by virtue of long screws with a rubber grommet on the end, or gasket, I guess. And those things just—it's like there was some sort of cosmic spaceship, some sort of spaceship above the house that was just sucking them out. And yeah, that's on the list. So you have my complete and absolute sympathy. So what's got you burned up, my friend?
Gears are grinding. I was tuning into the Sunday shows yesterday, and I happened to run across This Week with George Stephanopoulos, and they clumped the Como and the Cruise story together like they were one and the same.
Oh, yeah.
With this both ciderism bullshit, you know? And here's what really pissed me off even worse to the next level. They spent 80% talking about Como and 20% talking about Cruise. They're two different stories, man. They shouldn't even have been clumped together. But
yeah, how? I mean, I mean, I'm an old DJ. That's like segueing from John Philip Sousa into, you know, Kiss.
Stairway to Heaven to Madame Butterfly, right? I mean, Jesus Christ, there's no comparison.
That's
man.
Even better, Steve. Wait a minute.
But, yeah, I was screaming at the TV, and Karen said, turn it if it's going to upset you that bad. So we watched rerun runs of Ozark before my head exploded. But why do they feel the need to do this both-siderisms after the hell this orange monster has put us through for the last 4 years?
Oh, but see, why? I think we're finding out, Steve, that no matter how much foot rage the for-profit media delivered to us, that some of them kind of just miss him. Because I actually thought you were going to go somewhere that you didn't go, because I was going to go there with you, and we'll go there now. The other thing that I saw, Eric Bollert posted it over at Press Run.
Media Matters?
He just does his own thing now.
Okay.
But he pointed out that CNN has decided it will no longer run the daily White House press briefings.
Why?
Well, because they're no fun, apparently. I mean, Jen Psaki standing up there speaking coherently, cogently, intelligently, and not
telling the truth
and not flicking boogers at the Johnny on the spot White House press corps is apparently not what they were looking for at CNN in terms of entertainment value.
And she actually takes questions from Fox and Newsmax.
Yeah,
I mean,
sure.
She takes questions from the opposing party. She's not like Trump, and she's not mean or mean-spirited, or she doesn't call them names or call them fake news.
What Eric Bollert said was, CNN's move represents one of the most dramatic ways the press has changed the way it covers Biden as compared to Trump. Suddenly gone is the nonstop, unfiltered coverage of White House briefings, which defined cable news during the past 4 years.
Oh, my God, Robin, they would chase them around the helicopters. You could barely hear them over the chippity-chop of the helicopter, and shove a mic in his face and sit there for a half hour.
Because there's good money in watching a orangutan grunt into a microphone.
And watching his orange hair stand straight up, I suppose. But it's just really – it pissed me off to the point where I had to change the channel. Maybe I shouldn't let it affect me to that degree, but when I seen it in the scrolly in Q, I couldn't believe it. I said, I got to watch to see if they're actually going to do this. Damned if they didn't. And went to Chris Christie, and of course he had to talk about the horrors of Como, and what he did, it was egregious. You can't whitewash that.
I've followed this story, and again, this is not the Andrew Cuomo Appreciation Society.
Not by any stretch.
But I'm trying to figure out how this is fucking Watergate, or Iran-Contra, or anything that happened between January 20th, 2017, and January 20th, 2021. This is a moment for this, because your fellow member in the Fraternity of Steves pointed this out on Friday. If I understand correctly, some people who got COVID in nursing homes and were transported to hospitals where they died in the hospital were not counted as nursing home deaths. Now, Steve, work with me here.
Mm-hmm.
Were they any less dead? Were they any less killed by COVID? Were their families any less heartbroken, infuriated, destroyed, devastated? Maybe I'm just a neoliberal establishment, goddamn neoliberal establishment shill. But I'm trying to figure out how this is the Lindbergh baby kidnapping. Is it because we've entered that age and we've been in it for a while where everything is explained? You know, it all started with that one dude's book, I think. It feels like it did. It all started with that one dude's book, Freakonomics, where apparently everything can be reduced to some miserable data point. Absent any humanity, absent any emotional content, absent any context, we're all just little data points. It reminds me, Steve, of, you know, what happens to people coming out of law school, especially right out of law school. You spent 3 years being taught about rights and duties, and you're over the course of three, you come out of law school and you're like, hey, look at that bundle of rights and duties over there. And how about that bundle of rights and duties over there? And you no longer see people. This feels like that.
I concur wholeheartedly.
I mean, if there was some sort of evil intent, like, you know, I don't know, Andrew Cuomo owned a shit Google of stock in Amalgamated Old People Warehousing Corporation of America. And I say that not meanly, because I know what you've gone through with your mom. Assisted living and care, and
it's hell, man.
But if there was a smoking gun out there that he was doing it for some sort of improper purpose whereby he was going to benefit somehow. I mean, Jesus Christ, and this goes to the larger point. Have we forgotten 4 years of overwhelming, a fucking cesspit tsunami of filth that came out of this horror, godforsaken horror of a maladministration? And this is what they got?
And here's my biggest concern. They're going to keep dicking around with this both-siderism bullshit. 4 years from now, we could wind up with his orange ass planted, or one of his siblings, or whatever. Somebody just as wrong-headed as he is, we'll be right back in this nightmare again. Is that what they want?
It's what it sounds like. Yes, wait, no. Let's not play the sounds like game. It is what they want. They want that shit back. Are you kidding me? If it bleeds, it leads, Steve.
The cash register was ringing.
Yes, it was. And, you know, it's not good. It may not be good for America, but it's good for CBS, said Les Moonves, before he got busted for being a filthy perv.
Those bastards.
They like it. They want it. It put eyeballs on screens, and the Darlene took issue with me when I said this early on, but I'm going to go back to it just the same. The delightfully dull competency of this administration is not good. It's not good for CBS. It's not good for CNN. It could be if they would change their approach. It could be if CNN would stop seeing themselves as a fucking entertainment vehicle, or ABC News, or et cetera.
Or a cash register.
Right. A printing press for money.
After 4 years of being drugged through Trump's hell, I don't even like saying his name, I'm ready for some boring. I don't know how everybody else feels, but I'm ready for some, you know, something that's not as stimulating. Now, stimulating is a bad word. It's stimulating, it has a positive connotation to it. It was hell. That son of a bitch put us through 4 years of hell. I'm ready to relax a little bit and not have to focus on the news all the time to wonder what's right around the corner every 10 minutes.
Well, you know, Silent R. Lamar just sent me a good question along the lines of what we're talking about, Steve. I wonder, Silent R. says, did the governor of Florida do better than the governor of New York? Because I'm pretty sure that there's been some serious undercounting, miscounting, and it's not, and based on what I've read, it's not based on some sort of relatively innocent error born out of trying to figure out how to deal with a devastating pandemic. This was just an effort to hide numbers to make nitwit Nero look better. And
my dear lady friend, it all goes back to that acronym that you got, and I don't know it off the top of my head.
IOKIYAR.
That's what it's about.
It's okay if you're a Republican.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, it would have been more appropriate to have, what is his name, Stakanis, or you call him Ron Monkey Up something?
Oh, yeah, Ron Monkey Up DeKlantis.
That and the Cuomo story probably would have been better suited side by side if they were trying to achieve a both siderisms.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to do a 12th grade compare and contrast piece, there's your money.
Right. To me, that was just
wrong. But we wouldn't want to upset the maggots. You know? I mean, there he is running vaccine clinics for white people in Florida.
And then the time, they allocated about 15 minutes to this story. The time allocation was lopsided. You know, and that was another thing.
I mean, you want to
the same fucking horror show. That's what their goal is.
Well, they want Jen Psaki to just, you know, please. I mean, could you just tear off a fake eyelash like Sarah Hasselbeck sandbags and throw it at a member? Please, Jen, please. I mean, you're killing us here with all this competency.
The next Arkansas governor. That's kind of frightening, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
She could take it.
But at least there's some good news. Precious Please. Princess Iwanka my daddy Trump Kushner has decided she doesn't want to challenge Marco Rubio. I mean, I guess that's good news. From my standpoint, it would have been a delightful case of come on, y'all. Come on, let's you and her fight.
The cat fight of the century, yeah. This is where we're at, and it's probably only going to get worse over the next 2 to 4 years. I don't know why they feel the need for this both siderisms. It's a facade.
Well, because they want to sell soap to decent human beings and Republicans.
Corporations too.
Right. So they got to do their bullshit both siderism, or you know somebody you know some. Republican voting corporate suit will have a sad because he won't be able to buy that 13th vacation home in Vail. Oh, it makes me crazy. You're not the only one, Steve. No, this shit just crawls on me like fucking fire ants. It
makes my hair stand up. And you often wonder why BASF and ADM, not so much now as they used to, why do they even advertise on these talking head shows? So they can control the narrative, man. You can't go out and buy ADM. You can go out and buy their stock. But it's not something you can go to the Wally World and buy.
No. Archer Daniels Midland supermarket to the world. Really? I've never been to the Archer Daniels Midland supermarket.
Never even seen the store. I'm... firmly believe it's so they can control the narrative. Do you think there's truth behind that?
Yes. Yeah, I do. And Megan just dropped a note and said, I'm with Steve. I want boring. After 4 years of an orange incompetent boob in office, a dingbat I never wanted or voted for, I'm ready for boring as hell. During COVID Caligula's maladministration, I had shingles. My blood pressure went through the roof. I got constant headaches, as well as slow, seething rage every time he did something stupid, mean, or both, which was, you know, I'll add, all the fucking time. I don't care if Joe Biden was everyone's 33rd choice for president. Wait a minute. That's a cowbell, isn't it, Steve?
Yeah, absolutely. Another one of my favorite.
I can't wait for things to quiet down and be as boring as possible for the next 4 years.
Yes.
But the thing is, they're not going to let it because, I played that Mike Lee clip for a reason because he was tipping their hand. He was telling what's coming next. And what do you want to bet? And did you notice that every human being that Mike Lee, constitutional scholar, brought up was a woman or a woman of color? Guess who's going to jump? Guess who's going to jump right in with all of that shit? Because, and again, I get it, but let me share with you something that your brother in the fraternity of Steve said back when we were talking about Neera Tanden, and I understand all the objections and I share them. Steve in New York says, I don't like Neera Tanden, though I'm not entirely convinced Medicare for All is the way to go. I'm on board for a different type of single payer and actually prefer an NHS-style socialized healthcare system. I frankly don't care what the fuck we call it. We can call it Trump care. I don't give a good goddamn as long as every American can go to the doctor when they're fucking sick.
Mickey Mouse care, right. What's in a name?
Steve continues, however, sometimes you have to take one for the team. Outright getting rid of her has the look of weakening President Biden with one of his first nominees. Weakness is not something we can show in any way to Republicans. However, we have to lobby Biden for M4A or any other progressive ideas. You know, what did FDR say? You say you want it. You gave me the office. Now make me do it. The director of the OMB, as with any administration position, serves at the pleasure of the president. We convince him. She'll do what he wants. If the Senate confirms her as a director of OMB, that's not a big deal. Defeating her, especially Democrats who do it, has a much bigger impact. Finally, and we got a hockey reference here that's largely lost on me, but I think I get it. As a Winnipeg Jets fan, yes, I know nobody will get this analogy, I don't like goalie Connor Hellebuyck. However, I will take him over a goalie from the Ottawa Senators. Precisely.
Amen.
And so,
here.
And so because of what's going on with Neera Tanden, and now Deb Haaland, another brown woman, is apparently the next on Joe Manchin's hit list, and Mike Lee mentioned two or three women that will probably have to be confirmed at DOJ. Well, because of Neera Tanden, we can almost predict that Joe's racism will come bubbling to the forefront. And, I've been told by my dear friend Mike Lee that she said an anti-Semitic thing. Or I've been told by my dear friend Mike Lee that she says good pro-life Catholics like me are bad people and shouldn't be in office. Which is not what was said, but is what the fucking narrative will turn into, Steve.
Absolutely. And Manchin, he's an albatross, Robin. He's going to be for the next 2 years until we can find a way to declip his wings somehow. And the only way to do that is at the voting box.
Yes.
Tight on these fucking
budgets.
Yeah,
and it's not going to be West Virginia's voting box. Okay? Joe Manchin is not up until 2024.
Right, and the Reverend's up in 2 years.
The Reverend's up in 2 years? And by the way, I don't know if you realize this, but your former Senator Perdue has filed papers to explore the idea of running against him.
Yes.
I mean, by the time those campaigns ads start running, you won't they'll have Reverend Warnock so blacked up that you won't be able to see anything but his eyes and his smile. I mean, they'll put a black man in minstrel show blackface. For the campaign you've got coming in 2 years that's, for all intents and purposes, already started.
And the state legislation is doing everything in its power to try to suppress the votes. Everything. Just, I don't want to bore you with the details. Just Google it, and you'll see the kind of nonsense laws that they are trying to pass to suppress the vote. They even want to take away the one drop box per county rule.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They don't like what just happened to them, and they can, you know, the unseen having writ moves on. Oh yeah, they know exactly what's coming for them, and in a state like Georgia, they're terrified. They're terrified of Stacey Abrams, And secondly, they are water-boweled because you have entire communities who have become majority-minority communities in Georgia, and they are voting accordingly.
Robin, that's why state roots politics is so damned important. Know who your state representatives are. Know them. If they're right-wing tools, find somebody that's got some intelligence. Support them. Put your money behind them. Campaign them. It all starts from the bottom up.
Oh, yeah.
Very important, my friend. And that's something that, as a Democratic Party, we really need to work on, because I believe, and now correct me if I'm wrong, but most of the state legislatures are still controlled by Republicans.
I believe it's 26, 27, maybe as high as 29, not entirely certain. But the majority of state legislatures in this country are Republicans because the Koch brothers poured shit tons of money into making them that way.
They got this, what me and you were talking about, they got it years ago.
Yeah.
As far back as, what would you say, Newt Gingrich? They started to understand, hey, control the state legislature, we could start around with the gerrymandering, and, you know, the rest, as they say, is history.
Yeah. It's...
Cletus, all right, Bob, I got to bounce, brother. It's digging at my leg, man.
Well, tell little Cletus I said hi.
All right, my lady friend. It's always great talking to you, and love you, man.
Oh, I love you too.
Whatever.
And Miss Karen and little Cletus, we love you all. Enjoy the pounding and the sheet metal screws.
I'll keep you posted as this evolves.
Oh my God! Good luck. Talk to you later, Steve.
All right. Take care.
Our buddy Steve from Georgia Stan. And I knew I'd get in trouble with Darlene. Why is competence and sanity and kindness and righting wrongs and looking at a president that doesn't have a cat anus for a mouth equated with banality? That's kind of dysfunctional. Granted, I never laughed more at a U.S. president in all my life, but it was quickly followed with agitation. You know, this would be purely good fun and hilarity if the Joker didn't have the nuclear codes. Right. And I'm just kind of at a loss for how to describe it. When we say that we want to be bored, it doesn't mean we want to disconnect. It doesn't mean that we want to step away and quit paying attention, because we're those people. We pay attention to it all. We eat it, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We snack on it in the middle of the night. We check our feeds if we happen to wake up in the middle of the night, just to make sure that shit's okay. That's. And it's a form of shorthand to describe it as boring. Because when you compare it to the past maladministration, competence isn't as exciting for TV news or video clips. It's not as exciting as watching the monkey fling poo. I mean, we all get to sit, when the monkey flings poo, we all get to sit there and say, ha, 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 ha. Well, I'm so glad I wasn't there to get that face full of poo. Isn't it interesting the way they fling the poo? And Steve's absolutely right. The for-profit media want more of what they've been dining on it for 4 years. It's made cash registers ring. It's made smoke come off the monetary printing press. And they miss it. And they have, and it's... Please don't misunderstand what I'm saying when I say that it's like having been in an abusive relationship. It becomes an abnormal normal. And the for-profit media are more addicted to what they had every day for the last 4 years than I am to my little nicotine pouches. It is a political form of fucking OxyContin for them. And they gobble them up like Rush did, and they gobble up this performative horseshit politics the way Rush Limbaugh gobbled up OxyContins, chewing them up for the refreshing burst of fucking flavor. Stephen New York says, it's not that we want to be bored, it's that we don't want to wake up every day saying, oh shit, what did he do now? Or I'll add to that and say, waking up every morning and saying, oh shit, we're still here. He hasn't blown up the world yet. I mean, I did that for 4 years. You did that for 4 years. Your eyes pop open in the morning and you look up and you go, didn't blow us up yet. Well, what's he going to do today? America tuned in to the shit show to be lied to about the coronavirus. Somewhere between 33 and 40% of America lapped it up like a kitten does cream. You ever seen what happens after a kitten laps up cream? It ain't pretty. It don't smell good. And it's not nice. Kitty cats are lactose intolerant. Just saying. But God, they love it. They love it. And it must have been, you know, if you're a member of the for-profit media, it must have been oh so exciting every day. Getting leaks out of the White House about some wild-ass insanity. And you know that people out there were taking it with two spoons. And now, whatever. So, I don't know what to say. And just because it became a thing for this evening, going back to the Neera Tanden business, I'm at sixes and sevens. I'm thoroughly convinced. You know, I don't have my tattered purple robe on with the frayed appliqued moons and stars and "Will thee kiss me in the dark, baby" written in glow in the dark ink across the front, and my busted magic eight ball that always says "Answer hazy, ask again later." But damn. I'm pretty sure we're not going to get that big fan of Medicare for all or that big fan of lowering the Social Security retirement age to 55. Pretty sure we're not going to get that as a potential replacement for Neera Tanden. And that's not even halfway sarcastic. I take hope from the fact that, you know, going back to the first term of the Obama administration, Joe Biden was a good soldier, and he was marching right along with the Obama administration. Then one day he went on a Sunday show and said, "No, hell no! I think people should be able to marry who they love, regardless of sex or gender." And he rewrote Obama administration policy in that very instance. And as I said before, that tells me a little something about Joe Biden. That wasn't him fucking up. That was him speaking the truth as he understood it. Now, as we continue to be just ground under this fucking pandemic, I mean, did you know that a third of the UK is now vaccinated? A third. They've been extremely successful in vaccinating in Israel, whatever else you want to say. And people who can show their vaccine record or whatever are allowed to go to movies and sporting events and shit like that now. There's a disturbing element of papers, please, to that whole process, but that's what it is. Meanwhile, I saw a note from Sister Carol Baker earlier today that she was notified by the state of Missouri, having registered for her vaccine, that she, by God, can go and get hers, and there is a date for her to go and get it, and I'm so happy. And then came the punchline. Now, Carol no longer lives in Hooterville. She now lives in Kansas City, the largest city in the state of Missouri. And the state of Missouri informed our pal Carol that, yes, she can have a COVID vaccine, but the only place she can have it is if she drives 346 miles to the birthplace, the hometown of Rush fucking Limbaugh, Cape Girardeau, Missouri. I'm not kidding. Neither was she. And, of course, it's a Republican blood-red state. And meanwhile, boss man Wayne getting a vaccine watch continues. Still no vaccine. 76 years old. Multiple heart attack survivor. Dead on the table a couple of times. Boss man Wayne still can't get a vaccine. Here in West Virginia, that's been ballyhooed as being such a vaccine fucking wonderland. Oh, and by the way, they told Carol that if she declined that shot, she would have to go to the back of the line. And who knows when then. So I don't know what route she'll take. I mean, I assume she'll just go east on 70 to St. Louis and then around St. Louis and down I-55 to Cape Girardeau. I wouldn't want to be on any Missouri back roads this time of year. But damn. And so here we are. And we've been chewed up and spat out by a disease that was allowed to run rampant. And the Biden administration is doing the dead level best they can. But everything they do with one foot in the damn bucket. And the bucket has Trump administration stamped on the outside. And the for-profit media are doing exactly what they do, trying to gin up some bullshit controversy where no controversy exists, because that controversy is, of course, a good dollar. It's a really good dollar, as the prophet Bill Hicks, peace be upon him, observed oh so many years ago. And so as we come up on the second, the end of the second hour of the program, we've got $525 worth of matching money on the table. And if folks will meet that, we will be so much further toward getting February finished. And I want to thank especially, I want to thank Joan. Joan did a Have a Show on Me, and it was amazing. Thank you, Joan. So that actually means that if the challenge gets met, that would put us at about, I think, $200 more dollars after the challenge to be done with February. And I got to tell you, it would thrill my soul if we could have some fundraising free radio for a couple of days at the end of this month, because I get such a relief from it, because I find this all so very annoying. It bothers me. Gets in the way of the content and the flow and everything like that. Bill in Allentown says, boring? Maybe we should call it No Drama Part 2. If you remember, No Drama Obama kept us reasonably calm. Like you just said, Biden pushed Obama along once in a while. By the way, my dad got his first Pfizer shot a short time ago. That's wonderful news. Ralph's just got her first vaccine on Saturday. That's wonderful. And maybe that's true. It's just we can. And so maybe when we talk about Medicare for All or some sort of single payer, so maybe that person exists within the Biden administration, who will do for making everybody able to go to the doctor when they're sick what he, Biden, did for the LGBTQ plus community in changing the attitudes of an entire administration toward marriage equality. Note coming in from Matt in San Francisco, I prefer to say we prefer sanity to insanity. Well, yes. Sure, crazy is more interesting and mind-bending, but navigating reality is helped by approaching things in a sane manner. And Matt knows from whence he speaks. And it's nice. It's absolutely, I mean, you know, we've still got nutters in Congress and in the House and Senate to watch. We are not in any way bereft of maggots to watch fling poo. But apparently for the for-profit media, it's still not enough. Oi! Let's go over and check in with Steve in New York. Hey, Steve.
Good evening.
Yes, good evening.
I had a really weird, esoteric reason for calling.
Does it have anything to do with the Winnipeg Jets?
No.
Oh, okay.
No. so you saw that? Did you? I don't know if you had read the email.
Yeah, I read it. I read it on air.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Oh, and by the way, congratulations on getting your shot scheduled. I'm very happy for you.
Can I just tell you? I just happened to be up at 3 o'clock in the morning, just fiddly farting on the internet, and thought, you know what the hell? Maybe let me just take a look and see. And lo and behold, there was that green message said there are appointments available. I have a very good friend of mine who's 77. I need to get him. It's driving me nuts that he hasn't gotten an appointment. So, but I mean, as bad as it look, all roads lead back to Donald Fuckwad. So we are, make no mistake, we are in this mess because he had no plan. So as bad as it is, I want people to think about, had he been reelected, there wouldn't even be this.
That's one of those critical little perspective moments.
Mm-hmm. Because they're just alike. Both of them are just alike, Robin.
Oh, I know.
There's no difference.
There's not a dime's worth of difference between a Democrat and a Republican. So said George Wallace and Ralph Nader.
So, okay. Here's what I called for.
It's just the truth.
Oh, it pisses when I hear that. And, you know, that's from you brainwashing me and me being such a sycophant. Anyway.
You left out the goddamn neoliberal establishment shill part.
Oh, that's right. The goddamn neoliberal establishment shill. I don't know if you saw, but we have officially passed 500,000.
Yeah, half a million.
Yeah. Something from, I believe it was last Friday on the front porch, where somebody had mentioned about crimes against humanity and The Hague and all that kind of stuff. And I have, I am a nerd with this stuff. And some people might be like, why are you calling and talking about that? But the sad part is that Donald Trump can, the Hague, the International Criminal Court, cannot prosecute him. The United States is not a signatory to what's called the Rome Treaty, which established the International Criminal Court. So for him, there is nothing, there is no Hague. However, by its nature, it's called the Rome Statute / the Rome Treaty. The International Criminal Court is only a court of supplemental jurisdiction, which means that its jurisdiction only applies to those who are signatories to the treaty if the home country doesn't prosecute. And so the United States, our courts here, do have jurisdiction to try him for crimes against humanity, which they should do. Will they do that? I'm skeptical. Although I have to tell you, with the decision from the Supreme Court today, I have become increasingly confident that for the rest of his life, he's going to be constantly, that he's going to have lawsuits and prosecutions and investigations dogging him till the day he shuffles off this mortal coil. So that's
fine by me.
Fine by me. As you would say, God, I hope it doesn't hurt too little. but you know, I just wanted to call in and, you know, I feel like part of my purpose on the horn is to be a contrarian, number one, and number two, to throw out some odd.
Well, I like the term our gut check correspondent.
Okay. I'll take it. So yeah, but you know, I got to comment real quick about the Neuratandon thing. That, look, I understand. I understand.
Yeah, I'm real conflicted about this.
But you know what? And I'm, you know, I'll tell you what. There was a time when I was, wouldn't have said how I wrote. And I'll tell you who actually really made me think like that was you.
Oops.
And no, that's not a criticism. That's, you know, you always have to balance, you know, what you want with what you can get. And like I said in my email, I don't like Connor Hellebuck, even though he won the Vezina Trophy last year, which is the trophy for best goalie in hockey. I can't stand the MF-er. But if it's him or some other goalie from the Ottawa Senators, which is the worst team in the league, I'm going to take him over them.
Yeah, because Ottawa has the invisible goalie.
Yeah, nicknamed the Sieve. But that's, you know, that's how I refer to him. But anyway, but that's my point is that, look, you could put a yellow lichen in the position of head of the OMB. And that yellow lichen could be completely for, you know, single payer or socialized medicine or whatever. But if the president isn't for it, it's not going to happen. So regardless of who's there, we got to convince the person at the top of what we want. And if suddenly President Biden, which is two beautiful words I love saying, if we are or whoever is able to convince him, you know, then suddenly Neuratandon or whoever occupies that position will be for Medicare for all or whatever.
And I'm trying, you know, like, and apparently I was having a hard time getting this across. This wasn't nearly so much about defending Neuratandon because she is a union busting ass. Who in other circumstances I might be railing against for precisely that reason. But I'm telling you, it is not good for anything that we want, Steve, to be giving Joe Manchin more power. And every woman and every person of color that the Biden administration nominates is in jeopardy from him.
I mean, yeah, and you know, I'll be honest. When I saw Susan Collins, I look at her as like, you know, it's like it's like a zit on my butt. I just pop it and move on. Doesn't, you know, maybe that's not a good analogy, but I just...
No, that's plenty sufficient to ruin dinner in the Central and Mountain time zones.
Well, I'm a giver. You know what I mean, though? What? Susan Collins is going to Susan Collins. You know, there are some people... Great. Okay. Great. Raise your hand if you're surprised. Raise your hand if you care. We have talked endlessly about this. We have to get better at doing politics. And politics doesn't always mean getting what you want, and if you don't, taking your ball and going home. And I don't mean any disrespect for anybody who wrote in about not liking Neeratanden.
This is not that argument. This is not good Neeratanden. This is not Neeratanden good versus Neeratanden bad. This is if there is anything about the Biden agenda that will be good for you, that will be good for this country, that you would like to see happen, giving Joe Manchin fucking veto power over it
ain't the way to do it.
It ain't going to happen.
No. If there's something you want, talk to Joe Biden. Bypass Joe Manchin. Let me tell you what, sometimes it's probably better to just ignore somebody, you know, pat them on the head and nod, you know, nod and smile. Yes, Joe. Yes, very good, Joe. Now go over there and sit on the corner.
Well, but you can't, now, Steve, I got to interrupt you there. You can't do that. You have to buy Joe. If you could give his daughter a humongous gajillion-dollar federal contract to produce the vaccine, he might do lots of things that you'd like him to do.
Or at least not screw things you want to do.
But he's very much a quid pro quo kind of guy.
Why, we might even call him an opportunist.
We might even call him cynical.
Cynical? The hell you say. But I just, you know, I wanted to call in briefly. I don't want to hog.
Don't with the hogging. Okay. Because that's not how this program operates, and I think you know that.
I understand.
The conversations last as long as there is intriguing conversation to be had. That's the entire operating philosophy of this little community.
Okay.
So as long as you're bringing good material, I ain't in no hurry.
Okay. I don't know if you had seen this. I saw a picture on, I know this is way off a different subject, but you know, once I turned 50, I felt like it was my God-given right to just ramble and say shit that, you know, I can ramble and my filter just disappeared when I turned 50, because when I was much, much younger, I would look at people like me and think, my God, that person thinks they can say anything they want just because they're old. I'm not old, but so I've adopted that.
Ixnay on the old A said the 58 Fay old. Yes.
I got it. I don't know if you had seen this. There was a photograph on ESPN, I think, about spring training. And I'm looking at this, and all of these people at spring training, these crowds, these kids wanting autographs, and not all of them, what do you say, butthole to belly button with no masks or anything. And I'm thinking, why?
Well, I'm still furious about March Madness, the news that broke when we were talking on Friday.
Right.
And they're going to come to Taliban, Indianapolis, and what's the other place? Arizona, maybe?
Is it Arizona? I thought it was Florida.
Oh, I'm not sure, but there's two locations, but. And then they will go, and then they will, you know, they're going to be super spreader events, and they're going to take their, you know, they're going to take their disease home.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll have new outbreaks.
It'll basically be Sturgis on steroids.
I think there's every possibility of that. I did want to ask you, though, because comparatively speaking, Steve, you've just talked about the fact, you know, you turned 50, and you're getting, and you've got an appointment for your shot.
Uh-huh.
And this isn't me being jealous or critical or anything.
How did I do it?
Well, I mean, is New York giving shots to people under 65 now who aren't, I mean, school
yes,
teachers?
If you have, Yeah, if you have comorbidities, they're doing it. So yay for being unhealthy!
Well, I asked that because I got a note from David in South Carolina, Stan. Because South Carolina, Stan. Mm-hmm. Earliest for me is July, August, first shot.
Jesus.
And I think that's pretty much me, too. July at the earliest. And I'm at the point where I would there's not much I wouldn't do to get Agnes hers. That's what matters to me. Mm-hmm. And see, you know, here's Randy Radar being a political grown-up. I got a few solid things I want to say against President Biden, but I'm biting my tongue because he's inherited a shit ton of problems to sort out. I'd like to see President Biden sort out the post office. Hell, I'd like to see President Biden expand the Supreme Court, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, the political realities of all of this are such that everybody talks always about the first 100 days of a presidency. And we talk about honeymoons. I don't think he gets a honeymoon. But the fact of the matter is, in any presidency, and this is one of those curses brought upon us by the term limitations, you know, a president spends his first 4 years running for his second term.
Mm-hmm.
And then he spends his second term trying to build his legacy. It's a horrible thing we did to the presidency. No, we didn't do it. Republicans did it. Pissed off, pouty little Republicans did that to the presidency. And so, having said that, since we get a new Congress every 2 years, that means that for all intents and purposes, anything you want to accomplish, you have to accomplish in the first term of a presidency. Anything you want to accomplish, you have to accomplish in year one. Because everybody will be in permanent campaign mode as of, and they always are, as of the second year of a Congress. Any big legislation sure. has to be done in year one.
Sure.
And by the way, a note from Darlene. Steve, she says, I understand. Trust me, I get it. I mean, as liberal as he is, Stephen Colbert was number one in the ratings thanks to Trump. Colbert did some of his best work over the past 4 years. So keeping Trump around but not where he can do damage to our political system except to the GOP would be fun until we see him do the orange jumpsuit perp walk, which would be even funner, and let the celebrations follow. I think the popping of champagne corks would be able to be heard on the moon. But imagine if he were to get reelected. None of us want that, so I guess it winds down to getting off on nonstop drama versus getting off on a deep appreciation of this never-ending experiment to form a more perfect union. And I'm not cleaning this, Darlene says. I engage in the voyeurism of the past 4 years, too, for sure. But I also know the nightmares and stress I had over the possibility of Trump being reelected in 2020. So maybe this is a step in our evolution as a species, that sanity and competence and ease, etc., is just as exciting. I mean, drama is intrinsic to survival, right? Our ancestors trying not to get eaten by tigers or run over by woolly mammoths. The tendency is probably built into our DNA. And I love the little woolly mammoth emoji that Darlene included. Of course, Lucy and the Neanderthals et al. Weren't dealing with money. Or at least we haven't seen any evidence of that, but I digress. And is evolution uniform across a single species in existence at one time? No. I mean, many Republicans keep running back to Trump as vile and untrustworthy as he is. Where's Darwin when you need him? No, oh, I know. I absolutely know. And see, that's there was another thing that bothered me this weekend, because so many things bother me, Steve. You know that.
Really? You?
Yeah, me. Every news channel I turned on, it seemed like was wall-to-wall coverage, and I'm ashamed of myself for even saying this, but it has to be commented on, I feel like. Every program I turned on had lengthy, exhaustive coverage of the fact that Nitwit Nero is going to CPAC. For whom was this news? Because it damn sure wasn't for me.
And the real news was the fact that Pence isn't.
Yes. And so the way I received that is, you know, the folks who run CPAC are sitting there monitoring MSNBC, monitoring every news channel, going, look at the free publicity we're getting. They just can't quit him. They gave him billions of dollars of free publicity, and now they're doing it again. Because, and you can just, all you could fucking see in your mind's eye, the little pinstripe-suited network executives with one hand down their pants going, let him run again, let him run again, please, please, fake baby Jesus, let him run again.
And you think I spoiled dinner?
Sorry.
Yeah.
But you know goddamn good and well they were doing it.
Of course.
So it'll be, I mean, I saw some of it. And it's Trump at CPAC, Trump at CPAC, Trump at CPAC. Jesus Christ, it's better. It's bigger than Darmok and Jalad at Tanagra.
And the walls came tumbling down.
Oh, his tiny orange hands wide.
Jesus. And here's even the worst part. We already know, first of all, that it's going to be an hour and a half speech. It's going to be an hour and a half about how the election was stolen. You know,
And his speech is scheduled right before the vaunted CPAC straw poll, which is, oh my God, what a barometer of American politics. Didn't Pat Robertson once win the CPAC straw poll? Didn't Pat Buchanan? Didn't fucking the batshit crazy Michelle Bachmann?
Michelle Bachmann. I was going to, yeah.
Or maybe that was the Iowa straw poll. I can't keep up.
Well, didn't she win the, you know, she won the Iowa. Why am I thinking she might have actually won the, or at least finished second or third in the Iowa primary one year, or the caucus?
Yeah, I mean, these fucking people aren't home, Steve.
And, you know, I have to say, of all the shit I'm really tired of seeing, all the fucking interviews of the, oh, gee, what do the Trump people, what do they think? What do they think? I don't know.
Anyway. Oh, no, they'll be parachuting TV journalists into West Virginia any day now. What does the aggrieved middle America white hillbilly think about? Oh, God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I want to say one last thing that I'm gonna step off because I got to finish a motion by tomorrow, or actually by tonight.
Law nerding. What kind of motion?
This is just a discovery motion. It's not that complicated. We have a client. You know what? I don't want to get into it.
No, I didn't want particulars.
Yeah. This is simple. I mean, what stinks is, on a general note, is that litigation, which first of all, in New York, I've told you, New York attorneys suck, and they drag their feet and let shit go. And my partner and I, one of our purposes was to actually go against the grain and try to move things along. But as you can probably imagine, with COVID, it's very difficult to move anything because if you need documents this is a personal injury case from hospitals, even though they generally have departments that deal only with that stuff, it still is taking forever to get anything. We messaged each other today about the Waltons, and I don't know who remembers the Waltons. I can already hear somebody who just raised his hand and said, I remember the Waltons. That would have been Scott in San Diego.
Natch.
Yes. I don't know what all of a sudden made me start looking back at that. I can't remember. But all of a sudden, I started looking back at it and looking at the story and listening to the theme song and saying, oh, I love that theme song. And then I realized that that was about, I guess you would say it's basically about a family of hillbillies, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Who folks who lived in West Virginia and...
Virginia.
Was it Virginia?
Yeah. And Earl Hamner, remember when we did the Christmas program with Dan and Kathy?
Uh-huh.
We had a little bit of dialogue about decorating the tree in the made-for-TV movie The Homecoming, which was the... which turned out to be, for all intents and purposes, the pilot to the Waltons.
Yeah. Oh, that's okay. I started watching that the other night. But like I made the remark to you is, when I started watching that, I'm like, you know what? It was, if you were to have that movie as is now, it may raise some eyebrows in terms of, ooh, wow, there's some sexism there, etc. But for the most part, it really wasn't, for the most part. It was just poor folks working every day, to do what they needed to do, and no fucking Kardashians.
And wow, was it white.
Yes, although there was a black family on it, and there was several episodes.
Yes, there was.
That dealt with, I guess, the guy. I just started looking at it was, and I don't. I mean, I was really young when that played, but I remember watching it with my dad on Thursday nights. Who got that? The guy. What's his name? Is it Ralph Waite? Is that who the guy was who played?
Yeah, that was Pa.
Pa. Who, there was this guy, was something, he was accused of something, and Ralph Waite lobbied FDR to get him pardoned, and he got pardoned, and I remember one of the episodes, I don't remember, I just was looking on YouTube and saw a clip from the episode that when Roosevelt died. You remember when Roosevelt died, they had that long, the train,
yep,
all throughout the country, where they all dressed up in their Sunday best and went to the train station at like, midnight and watched Roosevelt's train go by, and the black family was there. It just, you're right, it was very white, but for that time, to have a family that were basically just neighbors probably was a big deal. I mean, I was just too young to, I remember it, but too young to, to see or understand it. But, and as I said to you, the something extolling the virtues of like poor and working class people, and I don't mean to be maudlin here, but there's just, that's so much more appealing to me than, insert reality TV show from some.
Oh, I know. Church. I mean, my feed I told you my feed was filthy all weekend with Kanye and Kim getting their divorce. And I earnestly and honestly, I can't find a single goddamned atom of caring. Divorce is generally speaking hard on everybody, but usually somebody is in the wrong.
Right.
And just don't care. Those are two people with enough money to burn a herd of sopping wet elephants with sopping wet $100 bills, and I am just not broken up.
Not interested. Because you know what, and this was probably a little bit of cynic in me, there's an element of they're just doing this because, they need some publicity anyway. I don't care. I mean, I can't relate to those people. I don't want to relate to those people.
Kind of like not wanting to unify with maggots.
hits the nail on the head. So yeah. But well, listen, I just wanted to call in real quick and talk about The Hague, and just ruminate about some other shit. But I want to get back to this. But glad you're doing good. Loved the stuff that we exchanged over the weekend, the photos and the. And I am going to agree with what Agnes said. That was probably the, and I haven't seen many photos of you, but that was probably the happiest. You know what I mean by people smile, but they don't have happy smiles. That was probably the happiest smile.
No, there was a lot of internal happy in that smile. Internal getting out. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I have been.
Okay.
I've been putting one last thing. Yes.
Stop sending that goddamn snow up here.
I'm telling you, I'm still getting my awesome cosmic trans powers under control.
Okay, that's fine. But you know,
I mean, apparently I dumped a bunch of snow on y'all, but by the same token, I got a soaking rain here all day long that I would gladly have traded snow for.
Okay.
So it's not so much what I did to you as what I did to us.
Okay. Well, the snow didn't stick here, so I wasn't too terribly angry. But it was snowing all day. So, but if it starts to stick again and I find out that you were supposed to get it and didn't, and we did, well, you're going to be back on the shit list.
Well, I mean, I'm doing my best, Steve. I mean, damn. I'm all new to this. I mean, at least I haven't erupted a volcano under, under Katz's deli by mistake or anything.
The problem is that you're transnational and you're transsectional, and your transcendental powers, you just don't have them under control yet. And once you do, it'll be better. But I mean, thankfully, we're near the end of winter.
And yeah, I mean, I'm like a little newborn foal, you know, all wobbly on my legs and shit, and you know, I'll get up and run soon, but it's going to be a little bit more wobbling going on.
Well, I was thinking more like you're like little Superman who just crashed into Earth from Krypton. You don't really know that you can lift up cars, and I think it's more like that.
Yeah, exactly.
But you'll
and you know, I'm getting my morning copy of the LGBTQ+ agenda, which incidentally is let's all mind our own business and try to enjoy our lives.
Mm-hmm.
But oddly enough, you know, apparently there's a lot of other people that think it's something else.
Well, there are appendices, which I suspect you're probably getting. That's the stuff we just don't talk about.
Oh, no. Oh, you mean the riders?
Damn. Okay, look, I get it. You know, you're all happy.
I wasn't supposed to say that.
No, you're not supposed to. Okay. See, Matt out in San Francisco, he told you the important part.
He's doing his best, but I'm not the easiest student. I mean,
but just you got to keep that stuff on the DL.
Ixnay on the Eider's Ray.
Ixnay on the Eider's Ray, and that's where all the powers come from. That's just between you and me. Nobody else will know.
Yeah, no, this nobody's listening. God, I love these conversations. Jesus.
Oh, yes, I do too.
Oh, God, wait a minute. I think you may have started something. Cynthia in the Bay Area says, I would gladly trade some of our sunshine for some of your rain. We're looking at some serious drought here if we don't start getting some. I'd take some snow here, too. Anything with some real moisture in it.
I sent you this. I had this really urgent matter today. I don't know if you saw that email. It really scared me. Extremely scary. This like orange yellow disc appeared in the sky.
What is it?
I don't know. I kind of figured it out, but I'm a little skeptical.
Well, that's because you're the gut check correspondent.
Or as Malloy calls it, the skunk at the picnic.
Well, I'm trying to be neighborly here.
Yeah, you're trying to be neighborly. You're trying to be hillbilly-ish. Oh, by the way, real quick. Can I still get the, what was those shirts? What were those shirts?
Save the Endangered Hillbilly?
Yeah, can I still get those from CMRW?
CRMW.net. I think they probably still got them.
Okay, cool. I'm going to probably get one, because I like to wear that to the gym.
Oh, that'd be real cool.
Yeah, because I want to see the looks on people's faces. Anyway, well, listen, you take care of yourself, and all my best to the Horn family, and I will talk at everyone later and see you on the flip side.
Sounds good, Steve. Enjoy writing that motion. I know what a joy they are.
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Take care of yourself, okay? Right.
See ya. Bye.
Bye. Oh, bye.
It's our pal Steve calling from New York. Fantastic conversation. You guys are just awesome. And so there I have some thanks to send out. Thank you very kindly to Charlene in Rogues Island. And thank you as well to Ralph's up in Wisconsin. That means that Joey and Giraffe's challenge has been met. And it means that James's Finish February Fabulous challenge is now down to only $450. That's huge. Thank you very kindly, James, and thank you, Charlene, and thank you, Ralphs. Oh, that's wonderful news. Sparky tells me that Judy just got her golden ticket. Got it today from our health clinic 5 miles away. That's magnificent. Look what competence in governing can do. A 10-mile round trip as opposed to a, oh, my God, what, 780-mile round trip, something like that, for Carol in blood red Missouri Stan. David in South Carolina Stan waiting until July or August. Maybe. Why do I do this? But maybe. People might remember that when they go to the polls. Don't know. By the way, Jeremy pointed out, since I mentioned the March Madness scheduling, since you mentioned shitheaded sports going live with people, the WWE plans on doing WrestleMania in early April with a live audience, say 40,000 instead of the normal 80 to 100,000, depending on the venue. Well, I mean, that certainly can't be a super spreader event. And you know that they're going to be absolutely relentless in their enforcement of social distancing and masks. Nah, the only masks will probably be on the people in the ring. Sheesh. And thank you to an anonymous friend. We've now only got $400 to go on James's Finish February Fabulous Challenge. That's wonderful. Thank you. Trump at CPAC. Megan says Trump's going to see this as yet another one of his rallies and act accordingly. It's going to be the same speech. He's never given a different speech in the last 6 years. I mean, you could frankly put on a rerun and you'd be... But you know that the for-profit media... Please let him run, Jesus. Please let him run. Oh, Billy. You know it. Because, because it's grease, it's fuel. As far as WWE, Steve in New York responds to Jeremy saying, talk about LARPing and Smolikin. Oh, God. Oh, yeah. It'll be awesome. And then there's Power Comic Con. Flying into the Florence, South Carolina Center this March. The Florence Center is hosting this year's Power Comic Con March 6th. Join vendors and artists from all over the East Coast. Shop new comics, back issues, toys, collectibles, and more. Enter the cosplay contest to win real cash prizes. Tickets are $10 and will be sold at the door. Children under 12 are free. It'll be great for little Florence, South Carolina. Wonderful. Don't you know? Okay, that hurts. David sent his upcoming weather forecast to me. Tomorrow, sunny, 68 and 37. Wednesday, 72, low 45. Thursday, sunny and 66, low 45. You know how to hurt a girl. Damn. But that'll bring people out into the... here we go again. Like I said, every time we think that maybe we're turning things around, there's another fucking holiday. March Madness, Comic-Con. Oh, hell. Oh, no. That just occurred to me. What, Robin? What? This. Looking at the calendar. For March. Why, look. It's midweek. March the 17th. St. Patty's Day. There will be entirely new super spreaders events from people drinking Bud Light that's been dyed green and shots of Jameson's and getting shit-faced and you know, burbling in their bad Irish accents at each other. I love you, man! Oh, please. Well, you know, maybe that's not such a terrible idea. Maybe Joe Biden does need to haul Joe Manchin in and say, Joe, I just wanted to let you know I really appreciate your principled stance. And I thought you'd like to know that, well, I've given a $2 billion contract to your daughter's pharmaceutical company to manufacture vaccines. Now, would you please stop trying to fuck my administration and every brown woman or brown person who comes before the Senate for confirmation? Now, you really couldn't do that. That's a little too overt. That would probably smack of something improper. And, oh my God, the for-profit media would lose their tiny minds getting that out. Because Joe would probably go out and blab it into a microphone. He enjoys this. Make no mistake. He enjoys fucking you. He gets a charge out of fucking you because he's more worried about maggots than he is about decent human beings in the United States of America. Okay? I mean, I'm not yelling at y'all. You know that. But Jesus criminy. And, you know, Randy Radar's right. That's the problem with TV. As Lee Camp pointed out, you can't not know all about the Kardashians, even if you don't give a fuck. There's a certain element of truth in that. I don't know all about the Kardashians. I try to, but I certainly know who they are. It's kind of like way back when, oh, what was that program? The Jersey Shore was on. And our youngest just loved to watch it. And oh, there were conversations about, oh, what was her name? Snarky. But she said something to me about her one day, and I said, oh, honey, the only thing I want to know about her is the day she gets run over by a bus. That was really awful of me. And Doodle said, I can't believe you'd say something like that. And I responded by saying, I can't believe you'd watch something like that. I thought we raised you better. She grew out of it, and that's a good thing. Cheer up, says Randy in PA. Daylight savings time starts at 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time on Sunday, 14 March 2021. That'll be nice. That'll be nice, too. Todd and I were talking about this last week. I can't wait. Feel the warm sun on my skin and get the smoker going and fire up the griddle. Oh, I'm stoked. I'm totally stoked. Oh, and by the way, going back to the business of CNN saying, you know, we're not going to carry the White House press briefings. Over on Twitter, my pal Angelo from the People's Republic of the Bronx said, you know, everybody should just boycott these programs for 30 days and write to them and tell them why. And if we really did that and their numbers fell, their revenues would fall, and then they'd fucking learn. Well, Kevin added, Jen should wear that CNN snub like a badge of honor. It means she's doing her job. I hope she's at least taking solace in that regard. She's got an awesome and awesomely difficult job. Can you imagine standing at a podium every day of your life and looking at the pathetic parade of freaks that Newsmuck and Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, and Onan, the network that spills its news upon the ground, parade into that room? Ugh. Revolting. Nasty. Nope, not enough money. Couldn't pay me to do it. Because I'd probably behave like Sarah Hasselbeck Sandbags and, you know, flick a booger at him or something. But speaking, oh my God, speaking of the booger eaters over at Fox News TV, Radio Rwanda, dear God, this was a lovely moment. Bill Hemmer, back years and years and years ago, Bill Hemmer was an eager, young, bespectacled newsreader for CNN. Had kind of a, since Superman got mentioned, had kind of a Clark Kent vibe going for him. But he was lured away by Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, where he became a diehard teabagger and then a maggot. Well, he's had... he had a sad this week. Bill Hemmer is terribly, terribly, terribly worried. Oh, it probably keeps him up nights. Because Bill Hemmer engaging in conversation with a couple of Fox attack blondes began fretting about the fact that he says that, well, damn it, they've canceled, they're canceling presidents, they're canceling presidents on statues. Oh my God! Oh my God! Oh, the humanity! And then this.
I tell you, if they start canceling these American presidents, they're going to come after Bible characters next.
Yeah, you could.
Mark my words.
Yep,
wow.
Yep.
Right?
And really,
I tell you, if they start canceling.
Yeah, they're going to cancel Bible characters. Don't know if, you know, I guess Bill got LASIK surgery or something, so he's not a bespectacled little Clark Kent wannabe or anything. But, yeah, they're going to cancel Bible characters. No, this is not Prayer Meeting Wednesday, but Jesus. Sorry, wrong guy. My favorite, Lot, whose daughters got him liquored up and then rode him like a pony because they figured they were never going to get husbands anyway. There's parts of the Bible that if it was not the Bible and you were caught reading it to your children, your children would be yanked out of your home because you were sharing fucking pornography with them. How about King David? Not exactly a good guy. You know, the whole Absalom thing and sending one of his generals out to get slaughtered so that he could bang his wife. Or Abraham, who is a prophet and who is held up as being this great guy who went down into Egypt and offered to sell his wife to Pharaoh, whom he lied to Pharaoh because Pharaoh was apparently a moral man, Why the parents said, no, she's my sister, she's my sister, she's my sister. Eesh. God. And they're gonna cancel Bible characters. You think the maggots know, actually know, that one of the most touching gay love stories in all of ancient history is that between David and Jonathan? I mean, those two boys loved each other. Stupid, stupid people. Okay, in Stockton, Larry, I believe we should cancel odd lot sales. Odd lots. I got it. Yeah, that's good. That's quality. Oh, and as to Robin, stop telling us you're not yelling at us when you're quite clearly yelling at us, telling us you're not yelling at us. That's one of the better ones lately. That gets a bell. Thank you, Jeremy. Jeremy adding a massive multiple trans powers. Was it your trans powers that blew my engine on my snowmobile? I'm asking because Steve let you off easy. That was just snow, not money. Oh, Jeremy, I'm so sorry. It's not like I'm trying. Just to kind of get loose every now and then. What are you going to do? So there we go. Yeah, and you know what? That's true. Randy in PA says, actually, I'll watch anything on my TV with Dr. Fauci on it. Finally, a prominent scientist getting significant time on TV, and now that he's unmuddled, it's even better. Yeah, that's another thing. What we called the shit show back in the day is now this in-person hosted Zoom meeting that the whole country can watch, where everybody's following the rules, everybody's doing the right thing, and we're getting some decent information for a change. And Matt in San Francisco says, I'd be okay with canceling the entire Bible, characters and all. Well, I like the fact that he referred to them as characters, because that implies that, well, it's fiction. Personages? Historical people? No, Bill Hemmer said characters. That means they're made up. Which they pretty much, well, you know, are. Oh, and by the way, it's coming. We're going to be free of this hateful stuff. I was chatting with John Britovo over the weekend, and he said, oh, yeah, middle of the week, back down there where he is in Nueces County. They'll be back up to 80. Damn. I'm jealous. But it'll get here. It'll get here. And Easter falls on Sunday, April the 4th. That's Roman Catholic Easter and Protestant Easter. Eastern Orthodox Easter takes place on Sunday, May 2nd. Kind of tells you something about the whole fraud that they can't even decide on when one of their holiest days of the year is. I'm just saying. That'll be nice. April 4th. Right now, I'm just focused on March the 20th, first day of spring. You know, when a young person's fancy turns to thoughts of smoking meat. We had the clip earlier of Merrick Garland having Mike Lee, the constitutional scholar, for lunch. I did a pretty good number on the traitor Josh Hawley, too. Josh Hawley asked him if he supports defunding the police. And it was a beautiful moment. Because Merrick Garland said, no, I do not. I'm well familiar with what happened to the police on January the 6th in the attack on the Capitol. Or language to that effect. Because, of course, Josh Hawley was one of the people who incited that attack on the Capitol. If we'd had Howard Cosell's voice, if he wasn't busy being dead, down goes Hawley! Down goes Hawley! And that's one of those things that I sincerely hope Merrick Garland is serious about. And that is that nobody gets a pass on the insurrection. Nobody gets a pass on the terrorism. Up to and including the prosecution of terrorist Republican senators. Like Josh Hawley. He's not protected by the speech and debate clause when he's standing outside of the Capitol with his fist raised in the air and urging on the domestic terrorists. Who attacked our country that day, our union. I really want to see that. You think it could happen? Could we engage in... Is that just pure fantasy, or is there a possibility it might happen? Don't know. But, you know, we can hope. Arnold says, are you practicing witchcraft? No, Arnold, no. I'm practicing transcraft. Because just ask Pat Robertson, you know, dead Jerry Falwell down in hell getting his pineapple. Awesome cosmic powers. And it only dawned on me entirely too late that, well, they've been given to me. Woof. Oh, and a little follow-up as we come toward the end of the program. This is from a story from last week. You remember the audio of Rudy Giuliani getting all pervy about Michelle Wee's panties? Damn it. Oh, I'm so sorry. Call back. We'll finish the program with it. I didn't really, there was a call on the stress line and I got all wrapped up and it happens sometimes. This is why I need a producer. You know, dry erase board. Robin, call on the stress line. Please call back. I'll take the call. I won't screw up. I apologize. Word got back to Michelle Wee and to the LPGA and other organizations about Rudy Giuliani. With Flush Flimball, you know, the guy who took an all-boys vacation to the Dominican Republic with a prescription for Viagra that wasn't in his name, there weren't any girls, and yeah, and the Dominican Republic is all, you know, full of little, you know, little sexy time with little boys trade. Well, it got back to Michelle Wee. And she wasn't particularly happy about it. She was incensed. And I love her response. She said that Rudy Giuliani's comments were highly inappropriate and unsettling. What this person, she didn't even call him, she didn't even name him, what this person should have remembered from that day was the fact that I shot 64 and beat every male golfer in the field, leading our team to victory. I shudder thinking that he was smiling in my face and complimenting me on my game while objectifying me and referencing my panties behind my back all day. What should be discussed is the elite skill level that women play at, not what we wear or look like. My putting stance 6 years ago was designed to improve my putting stats. I ended up winning the U.S. Open that year, not as an invitation to look up my skirt. And here's the punchline to all of this. She pointed out that Nike makes golf skirts. It's kind of like a skort because it's got like a pair of shorts inside it. Nike makes skirts with shorts built in underneath for this exact reason, so that women can feel confident and comfortable playing a game that we love. But, you know, Rudy was probably 3 sheets to the wind. Rush probably was too. When they got on the green, they were probably trying to figure out which ball to putt because they saw two or three of them sitting there. And the perv was actually thought he was seeing her undermost layer of clothing when all he saw was a pair of shorts under a golf skirt. You know, somehow this kind of confirms, I think, what we all found out with the second Borat movie. He's a sick motherfucker. Gross. As in, don't let children near him. And that is the other guy's actual lawyer. The LPGA, the United States Golfing Association, the USGA, said sexism has no place in golf or life. We're always in your corner, Michelle. The LPGA chimed in. She's a 5-time LPGA Tour winner, major champion, LPGA board member, elected by her peers, Stanford graduate, working mother. We stand with Michelle. The best part of the CNN story here is Giuliani didn't immediately respond to CNN's request for comment. He didn't respond immediate or otherwise. He's probably still, no. Don't forget, March the 4th is the second coming of Jesus. Jesus' much fatter and dumber little brother, Donald, the J stands for 200,000 unneeded deaths, Trump, reclaiming his throne and destroying the deep state and kill all of us baby blood, human flesh-eating, face-wearing lefties. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's... Pay attention, because there may be some shit go down on March 4th. Because they're fucking idiots. Oh my God, they're stupid. By the way, Bible characters, Megan says, you know, you forgot King Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. Don't forget that steamy love affair. Yeah, King Solomon and his marriage between one man and one woman. And another woman, and another woman, you know, to the tune of about 700. Yes. And it would not, let's at least end this Moran Monday with a world-class restaurant quality Moran. This is just not, our little nutmeg, Meghan McCain, has declared that she doesn't like Anthony Fauci because she's a genius.
With America about to reach the tragic milestone of a 500,000 lives lost to the COVID-19, Dr. Anthony Fauci is being pretty frank about how the states have handled this and says we still have plenty of work ahead of us. Take a look.
500,000 Americans, families grieving all across the country. Did this have to be?
Well, certainly some of it, but not this bad, George. I mean, I believe that if you look back historically, we've done worse than most any other country. And we're a highly developed, rich country. Rather than even think about declaring victory and saying, well, we have herd immunity, we're in good shape, we've got to keep pushing and pushing, because this thing could bounce back with the variants very, very quickly.
So, Joy, are you ready to look at for the future?
Well, I'd like to, certainly. I mean, I'm getting my second shot this Thursday, and I'm hoping that that will alleviate some of the burden, you know, of going out, et cetera, a little bit. But, you know, the thing about this, what he's talking about, is interesting. I mean, he said on January 27th, Fauci said, was on Fox, and he said that it's not productive to rehash Trump. Let's look forward to what Biden will do, which is what he's basically saying here again. I disagree with that, and I'll tell you why. There is this rumbling that Trump is going to think about running again in 2024. The Republicans are split, 49% or less than 50%, a little bit less, say that they would vote for Trump again. He is a dangerous man, and you can connect his danger right to what we suffered in the past year. So there were early missteps, including Fauci made a misstep. Others did, and then they corrected it because the science caught up. But he did not. In fact, he said, don't wear masks. Don't worry about social distancing. Let's have super spreader rallies for me so that I can, you know, stroke my ego. He told Bob Woodward.
Thank God she said ego.
I'm not going to talk about the severity of this. I'm going to downplay this disease. He was just really very responsible for, in a large part, to what happened to us. And because he wants to run again, and by the way, he's planning on having a CPAC rally again, another super spreader. The man lies. And he must be held responsible and accountable. I don't want to see this happen again in 4 years.
So okay, no argument.
More optimistic.
Oh, but here comes our little nutmeg.
All of this, do you see an end in sight?
Really quickly, I just wanted to show a clip of Dana Bash talking to Dr. Fauci this weekend.
My parents have already gotten their second dose. They're fully vaccinated. Does that mean it's okay for them to spend time with their grandchildren who obviously have not been vaccinated? What's your recommendation?
You know, I'm not going to make a recommendation now except to say that these are things that we really do. I mean, literally every day, Dana, we look at that. We look at the data. We look at what's evolving about how many people are getting vaccinated. And there will be recommendations coming out. I don't want to be making a recommendation now on public TV. We want to sit down with the team, take a look at that.
So I was very frustrated when I saw this clip. I first and foremost want to say that I...
Oh, she was frustrated. You know who's frustrated? You know who's frustrated, Nutmeg? The families of 500,000 people who didn't need to die. That's who's frustrated. But, of course, it's all about our little Nutmeg.
Respect the great tragedy and all the pain that has come of our handling of the coronavirus. And there are 500,000 Americans that don't have family members. And it's horrific and very sad. And the grief that our country is going through should not be downplayed. That being said, we are next week will be a year since we left studio. And I have been very responsible in many different ways, as so many Americans have been. And the fact that Dr. Fauci is going on CNN and he can't tell me that if I get the vaccine, if I'll be able to have dinner with my family or dinner with, I mean, I don't have any grandparents left, but, you know, older people, if I can go to dinner at friends' houses who are older, it's terribly inconsistent messaging. And it continues to be inconsistent messaging. In Israel, in Tel Aviv, one of the messages that they have, I saw a sign that said, get a shot, take a shot. Meaning, if I get the vaccine, then I can go out and I can have shots with my friends. Is the science in Israel different than the science here in the...
Wait, she wants to do shots with children? Huh? What, Edith? Huh? Oh, the stupid, it fucking burns. He's doing science. And anybody with a reasonable ability to engage in primate big brain cognition can look and say, okay, I just took a vaccine that was 94% effective at stopping the disease, but that with the variants out now, that ability may be reduced. Is it safe? We don't know yet. We don't know what the variants are going to do. But our little nutmeg, well, she wants to be able to do shots with her dead grandparents or something. Like, God. I mean, why can't he just tell us to drink bleach or something?
United States of America, because Israel has over half of their country vaccinated already and seem to be doing pretty well. The idea that I can get vaccinated and I won't be able to see friends and nothing in life changes and that we're going to have to wear masks forever, I don't understand the downplaying of getting the vaccine, because right now we should be
wanting. He didn't downplay it.
It's possible to get a vaccine. The fact that I, Meghan McCain, co-host of The View, I don't.
Really? I, Meghan McCain, co-host of The View? Queen, Empress of the Universe, forever under God. What?
No, when or how I will be able to get a vaccine, because the rollout for my age range and my health is so nebulous. I have no idea when and how I can get it. I want to get it. If you call me at 3 o'clock in the morning, I will go any place at any time to get it. I want to be responsible and obviously wait my turn. But this rollout has been a disaster. And I understand, obviously, President Trump can take much of the blame. But now we're in the Biden administration. I, for one, would like something to look forward to and to hope for, because if getting the vaccine means that just nothing changes and we have to wait another few years till everyone gets it, there's already a lot of people not getting it. We're already having a messaging problem getting people to take this vaccine. So I'm over Dr. Fauci. I think we need to have more people giving more opinions. And
she's over Dr. Fauci.
The Biden administration should remove him and put someone else in place that maybe does understand science or can talk to other countries about how we can be more.
Who understands science? Oh, yeah, maybe we could maybe we could dig up the dead hippie doctor who said that Donald Trump was going to live to be $200. He understands science. Well, it is Moran Monday. We needed to close with a Moran. And so we shall. Thanks to everybody who got us started on James's Finish February Fabulous Challenge. We're down to 375 to go on that, and that's awesome. Maybe we can bring it down over the course of the evening and the overnight crew. And gosh, if we did that, it's conceivable that we could be done with February's fundraising by sometime tomorrow, maybe. That would be fantastic. Thank you. And so thanks to all of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program, no matter what manner you so do. Thank you to each and every one of you who, with your Patreon or PayPal subscription, serve as partial sponsors of this program with your kind gifts. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. This program would not exist without each and every one of you. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Steve in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. HeadOn.live. Thank you so much. Thanks to John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way at HeadOn.live in just 56 minutes or so in real time. The best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is at HeadOn.live. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Please stay safe. There's a lot of crazy virus-spewing people out there, as we just learned. If you can stay home, stay home. If you have to be out and about, please wear your mask. Double mask if you can. Throw a disposable on over top of whatever good mask you have underneath. Wear your gloves. Don't touch your face. Wash your hands. Carry hand sanitizer everywhere you go and use it liberally. Maintain your social distance, 15 feet between people who are wearing masks. You don't want to be near anybody that ain't. Yeah. And, of course, if somebody comes towards you saying, I done looked up her skirt and seen her panties, avoid that person like the plague. Because they are. Later.